This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Previously on
Pretty Good.
If you guys do another Curb, another Crazy Eyes episode, have me on, because this is Tim Conlon's
Not right, we will absolutely do another Crazy Eyes Killers episode as a bonus episode if you'll come on. No question.
Perfect.
I'm trying to elevate small talk to medium talk.
Welcome back to Pretty Good, a Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast. We're doing something a little bit different this week. I'm still Alex Chester, as always, and you're still Ovsinensky. Yeah. And we're in between season 6 and 7, and Larry and company took off an extra year between the episodes. So we're going to take a week off the podcast and do something a little bit special. Listeners of this podcast may remember that a couple of weeks ago, we had a guest who himself brought a guest. Just a quick cameo for that guest, but he said that he might come back. We might get another opportunity, and we're very excited today to have Chris Williams, Crazy Eyes Killer, back with us once again. So, Chris, welcome back to Pretty Good. How are you doing?
What's up, motherfuckers? How you doing? I'm just kidding. Sorry. No, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Never apologize for giving us crazy eyes. So thank you. We're very, very excited to have you back here. I guess the first question, because this is what we've asked most of our guests, is, you know, tell us sort of how you got involved with Curb at all, like how the casting process worked and, you know, sort of how you found yourself working on the show in the first place.
Well, it came as an audition, but I had done, it was the third season, eighth episode. So it was before it was really, really hot. It was just starting to gain traction. And I was doing a sketch comedy show that was on the WB network called Hype, with Frank Caliendo, who does the impressions. And so I was in a sketch comedy show, and I was doing all these different characters. I was doing Master P, and I did, you know, all these different rappers. And Marla Garland was the casting director for Hype, who is
Jeff Garland's wife. Oh, wow. Okay.
Jeff Garland's wife. So I got the audition, and supposedly Ghostface Killah, Sticky Fingers, Mike Epps, Master P, they auditioned for it, and she knew I could do a Master P impression, or I could do a rapper. So I got the audition, and as I said, I hadn't even really watched Curb. I made one or two times. It wasn't in my wheelhouse, so I wasn't really intimidated by anything. The character obviously was a rapper, and you're at your engagement party, and you have to talk to Larry, and the second scene was give them a jacket and have a conversation. So the only thing that you get is a slip of paper that says you're a rapper at your engagement. Say you like Asian pussy and you're eating Asian pussy and you can't live without it. That was the one thing that they.
So
had.
That's the part that was set.
Yeah, that's the only.
That's thing a must. The must. Asian pussy is a must.
Asian pussy is a must. So I just had that and talk to Larry. So before I left, I wanted to prepare myself. So I put myself in a, because I'm from, you know, Westchester, New York. I went to Georgetown. I am definitely not a rapper, a gangster rapper, anything close to that. So I had to do my research. And so I left my house. I have blue eyes. And in order for me to look, quote unquote, hard, I figured I needed to at least have brown eyes. And from the sketch comedy show, I had brown contacts, which always made me look harder. So I put these in, I put a white tank top on, a baseball cap with a bandana, and I was not clean shaven, but I was kind of looking a little rough. And I put a big tattoo on my arm, and I called myself the Wolf Man. can you see that?
Yeah.
That's when I left for the audition.
Okay.
I left like that.
Yeah. Got a nice beard on there.
Yeah, so I left like this. I had these fake teeth and the brown contacts in. And I call myself Wolfman. Because, you know, these rappers, they always have their nicknames. Yeah, and you never know where they're going to get. Ghostface Killer, this, that, and the other. So I said W-O-L-F-F, like my name was Wolf. And I call myself the Wolfman. Oh, like some dumb shit in 2002. So I left my house because I was watching MTV Cribs, just like what people would watch. And so I left my house as the Wolfman, as this rapper, just to convince myself that I could get away with it. So I was in my car and I went to the wrong office when they were auditioning Curb. And I went into this, and there's a secretary sitting there. I was like, yeah, yeah, I'm looking for Curb Your Enthusiasm, something like that. She's like, yeah, it's down the hall to the right. I was like, yeah, thanks a lot. Just to see what the visceral reaction would be to some dude coming in there and me being hard. So went in there, got the slip.
So it worked on Nervous White Lady.
Exactly. So I got the slip, and I was like, just go in there. And I had a couple things that I wanted to do. But you can't, especially, you know, I do improv, but you can't be married to that because you'll trip yourself up. And also Curb is not, you can't be funny. You're not supposed to be funny. The situation is funny. So I went in there and Bob Whitey, the director who won the Emmy for this, Bob, Jeff was in there, the casting director and Larry. And I rolled, what's up? How you doing? Yeah. And I was like, you know, dap Larry up a little bit. Because if I went in there like, hi, I'm Chris, I'm going to do a rapper. It's not going to work, right? So I went in there and said, yeah, what's up? I said, hey, yeah, your name is Larry, David Larry. You got two first names, man. Where the fuck did you get that shit? He's like, my dad? I was like, yeah, that's some cool shit. Just to ingratiate me to him and get us in the flow of it. You know what I mean?
Right. You want to start out like almost in character with him.
Oh no! I had to come in the room as the Wolfman or Crazy Eyes, whatever, you know, Wolfman. So I went in there and I was like, yeah. And I was like, and they said, okay, we'll do the first. I'm like, cool. And we did it. And I said, you like Asian pussy? I said, you know, something about it. You know, you eat it, and then 30 minutes later, you know, you want some more because that motherfucker said Asian. You know what I mean? Right. Like, jokey stuff like that. And then at one point, I was like, I said, you my nigga. And he's like, he didn't know what he was like. Oh, I was like, yeah. You mind? Because that would, to me as the rapper, would be a common,
right?
You know,
but I'm glad in real life Larry paused, because in the episode he doesn't. He responds and it's like, yeah,
right.
Not so sure you should.
They knew that it was kind of coming at one point. So I went in there and I did the audition. I was like, yeah, thanks a lot. And I left and I went to the grocery store. I remember grocery store dressed as crazy, you know, as the Wolfman, just to see if I was still getting a reaction from people. And they told me I got the gig. And I was like, that's amazing. And he, and Larry said, is he a good rapper? Is like, easy. And Jeff's like, because Bob had worked with my sister. Bob Whitey worked with my sister. And he's like, you know, he's just an actor, Larry. You know, don't worry about it. I was like, yeah. So I got the role. Now I'm like, what am I going to do?
So hold on. Okay. So did Larry think that like the rapper character was like a real character? He thought that was legit.
Yeah. He thought I was a rapper. Okay. Yeah, he thought I was a real rapper because he had seen these other guys come in.
Yeah.
But you know, I had.
And Larry's not Googling that. He's like, all right, he's Wolfman. Yeah. He's the Wolf. Yeah.
Right. So I went in there, did that. And then they called me and they're like, okay, you were shooting so-and-so. What's the name of your character? And I was like, oh, I was like, ooh, you know, I don't like wearing contacts. I don't wear contacts. I don't like wearing contacts, but I gotta be hard. I'm like, well, I mean, I gotta at least wear one, right? So I was like, I'll call myself like Crazy Eyes, and put a kill on it and spell it all in case. that's how the name came about, because I didn't want to wear a brown contact.
That's incredible. So you didn't just make up the name of a character. You made up the name of the episode.
Yeah.
And it's like a guest coming on. Yeah. That's like, I mean, when does that happen?
Yeah, so I made up a character, and I want you to name the episode after.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out that Bob Odenkirk showed up, and he's like, all right, guys, I'm Porno Gil, and here's what's happening. I'm getting some Tabasco sauce up my asshole today. I don't know. Yeah. That's awesome.
I got the gig, and when I went to this first day on set, I wanted to retain my visceral reaction. You know, I wasn't crazy. I'm like, oh my God, I'm excited to be here with everybody. And I only got to work one scene with Wanda too. The whole scene, the first scene is the only time I'm ever even interacting with her. So we're shooting and everything, and I'm trying to go as hard as Chris can be. Like, I'm not, you know, but I'm, for me as an actor, I got to be over the top. And at one point, when we're shooting the scene with getting the jacket back, right?
Yeah.
He says, you know, he's getting the jacket back, and she goes, you don't know what, you know, you don't treat her right. And I turn around and go, shut the fuck up, bitch. And he's like, whoa, okay, you know, less crazy eyes on this. I'm like, okay, I got it. You know, tone it, because I'm trying to go over the top. Because that's what I would react to someone who's saying it, and then we change it to, you know, you fine, but like I'm hitting on it, right?
Yeah.
So, and at one point when we were doing the house tour, I was trying to make it as mundane as possible. Now, I think the reason why I got the role is because I know what the comedy of Curb is about. You can't just be a rapper, and that would work with a regular rapper. But for me, my objective was, if you can keep Larry off balance, because he's always the rock of, you know, and in charge of everything and the cog to everything. But if I can keep him off balance and he won't know what to expect,
right,
the funnier it's going to be.
Yeah.
So when I'm like, yeah, I like you, motherfucker, don't hit me. He's like, oh, is it okay if I hug you? What do I do? So the more I can keep him off. So I wrote the rap beforehand. I was like, let me write this rap just to play into what the show was going to be about. Because I knew the through line. But literally, as I said, only got was Asian pussy, take him on a house tour and give him the jacket.
Right.
And then get the jacket back. That's the only thing
That's the character. You could have been the most forgettable character in the history of the show.
So I came in with the rap and didn't tell him I was going to do it. And then I broke out the thing and I was just rapping it. And then they say, and now they have a couple cameras going. So the first reaction was, he was like, oh, well, that's great. Let's do it again. And that's when he came up with, you know, turn the motherfucker to bitch, like that kind of thing. And we were just rolling. Like me and Larry and I were just rolling and going back and forth, and in the tour. And I will send you a never before on my Instagram, there are actually clips that were, wow. I got a 45 minute tape of an uncut version of Crazy Eyes. So wow. I have a couple scenes in there.
Oh, that's awesome. That,
cause I walk into the music room. I said, this is where I make my melodious music and shit. He's like, yeah, you make that. I was like, oh, like an echo. I said, go ahead, yell. Like, if I can tell him what to do, he's going to do it, you know, because he doesn't want to, you know, he's like, oh, I was like that echo shit. Yeah, yeah, that's a cousin DT and the boy and a couple bitches around. I said, you always got to have some bitches around. He's like, yeah, yeah. He was like, you know, but you can't have too many bitches in one place. You got to have a bitch here, have a bitch there. And you say, oh, you open the door and say, oh, bitch. And he's like, I like your theory of spreading the bitches out. So everything that I was doing is to try to make it as mundane as possible.
Right.
Yet he has to be engaged. So he is so uncomfortable not knowing if he's a friend of mine or I'm going to kill him or what's going to happen. And that's where the comedy comes in of that stress going back and forth with Larry, that you don't know how he's going to react and he's beholden to my character. And when he gives me when I give him the jacket back, he says, are you my Caucasian? And you can see, if you look at my eyes, I was like, oh, that was good, because I wasn't expecting that. I was like,
now you've sucked him in. Yeah.
Yes, and. I'm like, I said, yes, you might. He's like, you're my
Caucasian. He went topsy-turvy on you.
Exactly. And actually, another improv moment that caught me off guard was he had the raisin box. And he goes, you have some place I can throw this? And my whole thing was, okay, Crazy Eyes is the type of person that he wants to impress Larry. So he would have, I said, throw this shit wherever. Right. He's like, just throw. I was like, throw this shit, man. He's like garbage. I was like, throw this shit. And then he throws it. I'm like, watch this. And people don't realize that they cut. Delicious is actually a 6'5" bodyguard.
Oh, that's amazing. We discussed this on the podcast. Who are Delicious and Matilda?
Delicious is a 6'5" bodyguard. So when he comes to the door initially and hears the music, he opens the door and Delicious is looking at him. He's like, what do you want? And he's like, I'm here to see Crazy Eyes. And he just looks at him and he turns around and closes the door. And then I open the door and I'm like, Where's Larry at? Where's that? Oh, there's my motherfucker right there. So you miss the whole him. He's already scared, not knowing what's going to happen.
Right.
And so Delicious, when I yell for Delicious to tell Matilda to come clean it up, Matilda's the maid or whatever. Yeah. And then Delicious was my consigliere, you know, my bodyguard, my right-hand man.
I got to say, I think Av and I didn't know that Delicious was like a name that like was a name that went for any gender. So we sort of had a different Delicious in our minds. And it's funny that there's literally like, you know, extras, cut scenes from the episode that show how wrong we were, I guess. So,
and it's an homage actually, because in the Kings of Comedy with Cedric the Entertainer, Bernie Mac, Cedric the Entertainer says he has a friend named Delicious. He's like, call him a grown man Delicious. So I was like, oh, that's a good one. So as an homage to him, I use Delicious in that thing, because that's like a perfect, like, you don't know who it is, but I wanted to have you to have the ambiguity. You don't really know what's going on. Because in the episode, I think I said, "Don't worry, sorry about Delicious." You know, he gets a little. He's like, "Okay, it's okay, it's okay."
Sorry about
Delicious.
But there was no Matilda cast, right?
There's no Matilda cast, exactly.
Because I was thinking like a St. Pauli girl, you know, like a very German stereotype maid coming in too.
I think for all the pretty good critics out there who say that we tend to get a little bit too in the weeds on, you know, potential plot holes and theorizing and, you know, trying to connect things together. You say, you know, Curb, it's not a serious show. Why are you doing that? Pretty good guys. I think we've just established that for every episode, there is a canon and there's a series Bible and there are deleted scenes that establish all the like in-betweens, and this is time well spent.
Yeah, I think there was a reference to Delicious in season one. So then they bring him back 2.5 years later.
That's right. Yeah. Larry David knows.
Right out of the, it's just like The Wire. Yeah. David. Yeah.
Then we were in the dining room area. You know, when I first walked, I said, that's a dining, this dining, that motherfucker, to make it as mundane as possible. He would cut and he turns to me and goes, hey man, you know, he's like, I got to say, you know, I'm really, you know, you're doing a great job. You know, you're doing a really great job. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. He's like, I could have written it, but you know, he's like, I'm sure you could have written it. He's like, but you're doing a great job, just to give him the little extra things that he would not have necessarily known, you know?
Yeah.
There's one other thing I was going to say about it. Oh, and then Kunde La, so people don't know what Kunde, it's actually C-U-N, D-E-L apostrophe over the A. So C-N. People think it's cool de la,
yeah,
but it's
I
actually
so.
Cool de la.
Well, I
was literally,
I have to say, also say as a white guy, it's easier if it's cool de la. That's easier to say. Because
right.
The other thing sounds a little bit like a racial slur.
Oh, that's so, I never thought about it. So,
yeah,
de la. So,
yeah, it's a
little. And that was a word that me and my boys made up. We were on vacation at Martha's Vineyard. And we're like, let's make up a word and see if people start saying it. So yeah. He started, are you Kunde La? You Kunde La? So we started saying it. And of course, no one started saying it until I bring it into the lexicon of Kurt.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, I didn't want to drop the persona, you know, too much of Crazy Eyes, just to keep that, you know, the tension. But, you know, by the time I got to the, you know, the third day shooting, you know, it was like, I'm Chris and whatever. And I got Snoop Dogg to Snoop had a clothing line. And it says Snoop 213. And you see in the last episode, and that blue, light blue jumpsuit. Oh, no, yeah. When I give the tour, that says 213. That's Snoop Dogg's line. It was cold one night, and they gave Larry a jacket, and it had just Snoop 213, like a really small thing, regular, and just a regular jacket, and Snoop 213. And we're at break, and it was the playoffs for basketball. He's a big basketball fan. And he goes, does anyone want to come watch the game with me? And Jeff's like, no, I don't want to do it. And I was like, I'll go with you there. He's like, okay. So we're about to get in his Prius and go and drive down from Malibu down to this little bar to watch the game. And he goes, Do you think I should wear the jacket? Maybe I should wear the jacket. I'm like, wear the jacket. The jacket's fine. No. He's like, I'm not going to wear the jacket. I'm like, wear the jacket. The jacket's fine.
This should have been filmed as part of the episode.
Exactly. I had a Curb moment within my Curb moment.
Yeah.
And we drove and sat at this bar and we watched the Lakers game. And I wasn't trying to fanboy out on him too much, but I was like, this is, so you like basketball? I'm like, yep. And we're just talking, just, you know, nothing too crazy. And we went back up and finished the rest of the episode. So I had my Curb moment within my Curb moment, which was fun.
That's very, it's very funny to think of Larry, like, you know, in real life like that. But actually, I went to the showing of the first episode of the most recent season which feels so long ago now because it was pre-COVID when you can actually do things like that, in like the Y or whatever it's called on the East Side. And Larry, one of the things he talked about was how in real life, like, he was asked, do you like being famous, was the question. And he said, yeah, I love it. He's like, I don't have to like get in a cab. I just like, if I'm on the street of New York, I say, hey, can I get a ride to, you know, uptown? Just random people just give me rides. And then he says, and then his daughter find out and yelled at him like, no, dad, you cannot be doing that. But yeah. So Larry's like, yeah, he just wanted to watch the game. And that's pretty funny.
And at the end, when we get the jacket back, my final scene, you know, when I bang on the door and I get the jacket back and I leave, we stopped shooting and Larry came down and he gave me a hug. He was like, great job, gave me a hug. And they're like, Larry never hugs anybody. What did you do? Oh my God, Larry never hugs anybody. And supposedly they had to cut out so much of the episode because I kept making him crack up in the middle of the scene. Like I'm being outrageous as crazy within the confines of my character, but right. You could really just go anywhere.
Which is pretty outrageous. You didn't really have many limitations with that character.
But it's amazing to me, like, and not to blow smoke up your ass, but like, I'm get, like, as we, especially as we go forward and rewatch episodes, I'm really going to try and take a look at sort of like what we see as like minor one-off characters and see sort of what they're assigned to do in their interaction with Larry. Because I think there's a lot of people who are cast on the show and it's like, they have one or two awkward scenes with Larry at a store or whatever. And they actually, it shows it's how much it really is up to the actor themselves. As an improv or as an artist or whatever, to come up with like additional to flesh it out. Because I think a lot of people who we see on the show and we don't remember actually could have done the same thing. They just, you know, the opportunities there on a show like this, because you have so much flexibility. You just have to get to like, you know, your one or two key spots in the scene, but they don't. And so I think it's really like, it is incredible, like how much you brought to this character based on like two or three like minor pieces of information.
And it's only three scenes
after him. Yeah.
It's three. I'm only in three scenes in the entire episode.
Yeah, but it's three for three. So, like, you know, it's a very high batting average. I mean, like, I'm glad you mentioned, like, watching Cribs, because, like, just that Cribs scene where you're walking around and showing every room, like, it seems like if I wanted to tell somebody what Cribs is without, like, and I had 3 minutes, I wouldn't show them a sort of Cribs. I would just show them that scene. It's such a great, like, right. It could be, like, a sketch on SNL or Mad TV or whatever. It's, like, it's really incredible. I mean, like the one I think, like the one time you say, like, and in this room, I just want to have like Scarface on 24/7. I don't know if I Mandela affected this, or it's just like, or because I had seen it on Curb, or if it really happened. But I'm convinced that I saw an episode of Cribs once where some guy was showing his house, and like, I mean, like, so it's a stereotype like rappers love Scarface. But I could have sworn that I saw an episode where some guy was like, yeah, in this room, I just have Scarface going on that screen 24/7, and I probably didn't. Well, I probably just, you said it, and so I just think I saw it somewhere else. But it's so
every
like,
time I watch Cribs, everybody was so into Scarface as their right. their movie. So I'm like, I have to incorporate that.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to make sure
Scarface
that
at all times.
That Crazy Eyes was not considered, because at that time Master P was worth $60 million. I mean, he was on Forbes, whatever. He was a wealthy man from, and he was a hustler. So
yeah, he was becoming like an agent in the NBA and like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, are not dumb. So at one point in the scene, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna have an oil painting up there, right? And I'm gonna have an oil painting of myself, you know, because in Silk the Shocker that I saw on MTV in Cribs had a huge painting of himself in a sweatsuit. I don't know if it's a velour painting or something, in a sweatsuit. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna have that. I'm gonna put bad motherfucker on the bottom. You know what I'm saying? He's like, well, how are you gonna spell motherfucker? I said, well, motherfucker with an A, you know what I'm saying? Right this. And then I said, and over here, you know, I want a Monet or a Monet because I'm a French impressionist motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe a Pontormo, you know, Italian rent. And just to give a little twist of like, he knows who Pontormo is, or
this,
you know,
is all in the 45-minute cut that you made, that they gave you?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, they had much more of the episode they could have put up, I think.
So that was a really, it was, and I only never really got to see Wanda that much. I just had that one small scene with her, and
well, it sounds like your character wasn't seeing much of Wanda either.
Yeah, right. But actually, here's another tidbit. Remember the dinner, the last episode of that season, where they're all in the restaurant.
Yeah,
the restaurant. Yeah, the opening.
I was supposed to come back with Wanda
in
that episode. But Wanda had a scheduling conflict and couldn't make it, and they couldn't justify bringing Crazy Eyes
is just there without Wanda.
Yeah.
right. They couldn't justify bringing him back on his own.
You know what? I got to say, I was once, my now wife and I think we were married at the time, were going out on a Saturday night, meeting up with her best friend and her best friend's new like boyfriend. and she had to cancel at the last second for whatever reason. And so the boyfriend just showed up solo. It's like, like we didn't know who the hell this guy was, but he showed up anyways. And we thought it was the weirdest thing. And he spent the entire night with us. And he was actually a great guy. And we told her, like, yeah, he's such a great guy. Like, we spent the whole night with him. I don't know why the hell he was there. But but then she dumped him. And I was like, oh, yeah, well,
she should dump him for being a sociopath and showing up on that dinner.
Yeah, it was very exactly. weird. But yeah, we could have taken more crazy eyes. Yeah, but then the show, you know, obviously in true Curb fashion, you know, the next time we'll see Wanda a couple years later, there's no mention of crazy eyes. It's sort of like, you know, right. she's just at a new stage in life. And Wanda plays like a fictional version of herself. And obviously she was in a very different stage in life in terms of her public persona, you know, after 2008 or whatever versus when she filmed it with you. So yeah, you sort of get cut out there. Sorry, you were talking about Monina though.
Kim Whitley is a friend of mine, and she was about to audition for it. And she's like, I'm freaked out. I don't know what to do. Give me some advice. I'm like, I was trying to give her some tips and ideas about it. She did a phenomenal job, but I think she put a coup de la in there
yes, yes.
for me as an homage to me, which was cool.
Yeah. Well, you got it in the lexicon. So you and your friends were right eventually.
Yeah. I mean, I know season 11 of Curb, I think, is either filming or it's about to film. Either way, you know, if you're a guest star going on Curb, just say coup de la and you're going to be an iconic all time great Curb character. Like that's the secret sauce.
Oh, you're so
when they brought me back for the 10th to 9th season, one of the last season, I had this whole thing, this whole elaborate plan, you know, I didn't know what I was going to be doing or what I was going to say. And it was only that short little scene that you saw where I'm being interviewed. And I had a whole backstory of that Crazy Eyes had converted to Judaism and he was going to just be, you know, I had a yarmulke. I went out searching for the best yarmulke. I had a yarmulke that had gold on the side, and I had my Star of David.
So you're like the Amari Stoudemire of hip hop, basically.
In the episode, you can see I have a gold Star of David with diamonds on it. So I wore that, and I was like, I have this whole thing where I'm gonna be, I'm gonna remake Fiddler on the Roof of my car. You know what I'm saying? Like matchmaker, find me a bitch, and like. Sunrise, motherfucking sunset. You know, so I was like, had this whole thing, and I was like, and then he converted to Judaism.
The rapper version of "If I Were a Rich Man" could be legendary.
Yeah.
And I said to, and I pitched it, and Larry's like, you know, nah, cut the Jewish stuff. I was like, it's killing me.
Larry David, famously not a fan of the Jews, so.
and an addendum to that. I've had such wonderful experiences because of Curb and Crazy Eyes. I was at the Oscars right before Precious, you know, Precious, that show, the movie.
Yeah.
And Lenny Kravitz was in it. And one of my good buddies who is was Lenny's photographer. And I met him and I was friends with him. He's like, come to the after party. So I go to the after party and because Lenny wants to meet you. So I met Lenny. And we had a little repartee back and forth. Like, you know, we filmed a little thing of like me being Crazy Eyes. I'm like, yeah, this and the other. And we had so much fun with it. I get a call the next week and my friend goes, hey, Lenny wants to fly you down to the Bahamas and shoot your own Curb episode. Okay. And I was like, okay, exactly.
Interested.
So Lenny Kravitz, Lenny flew me down to the Bahamas and I wore my outfit on the flight. So we could start filming as soon as I, because the Bahamas was a smaller plane. And by the time when I came off the, you know, stepping down the thing outside, they'd start filming right then and there. And it's as Lenny was having Crazy Eyes rap on his album. That was the whole thing. So I was coming down there as Lenny's guest star to rap on his new album. And I came down there and it was 3 days. We did 3 days of absolute ridiculousness of we shot like it was over the Seder Passover. Right. So I was in charge of Passover and we came up with this whole elaborate, you know, story that I was staying at Lenny's house and then we go in the studio and we do some rapping. And it was so much fun. And then I will send this to you. just so you can hear.
But yeah, it's called booty pop, right?
Yeah. What I wanted to explain to you
is booty pop.
Is, well,
you don't have to, you explain booty pop to me, nigga. I know you know what booty popping is.
I know. But listen.
Yeah.
It's called booty pop.
Got you.
But it's not like a typical, like a ass super booty thing, right? Like
it's
like,
a super booty pop. Like,
No. It's about the culture of the dancing on the island. So it's not like it's this like sexual, it's sexy.
Right.
But it's not like it's this sexual, you know, this overt, nasty thing. It's about the culture, the women who come here to dance, and how it feels and how it looks in the club and the smells, the attitude, the scenario.
And the booty pop comes from what?
Okay. Well, the girls are dancing.
And the cheeks are slapping.
The girls are dancing, but I'm just saying, I don't want it to be like, you know, nasty. I want it to be a cultural thing. All right. So I'm going to go on out. I'm going to get behind the board.
I'm going to do my thing, man.
Let you do your thing.
Okay.
And just keep it clean.
I'm going to come off the dome with some stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to let it flow. Okay. I'm going to let it flow. Booty pop, though. It's a booty pop song. It's a booty pop. I'm going to let love rule. You got a couple hours in this motherfucker, too, right? Like, are you gonna go my way? I like that rock and roll is dead. Rock and roll is dead. Yeah, man, you brought that shit back too. Rock and roll, Eleutheria, the fire is burned. I like that. That was one of those Jamaican joint. Jacket. I like that shit. That was a fly.
I'm flattered you know my stuff.
I know. Come on, man. I'm a fan too. That's why I figured, you know, this gig would be some cool shit. You know, between the two of us, we could collaborate. You do your love, peace, and happiness, and I do my thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm very happy that you're here.
All right, brother.
And I appreciate it. We're gonna make this great.
I'm gonna show you what I got.
You got it, right?
Right. All right. All right. Is it electronic drum or is it a real drum?
It's a real drum.
It's a real drum. So I don't work with real shit, man. Well, that electronic shit, you can say that for Flock of Seagulls shit, you know. Dude, all that shit. I don't fuck with that 80s shit. I like
this. This is all real, organic.
You wanna
we're gonna roll.
But you appreciate in the ass, right? Cause
yes.
She's popping that booty, man. Okay. And I appreciate that shit, brother. I appreciate it like a mother, you know what I'm saying?
Hit it,
all right, let's go.
Let's go.
Rock and roll, bitch, sister, till my dick is dead. Let me pop that booty.
We got a little problem. Hold on.
What the fuck? Man, I was rolling, bro.
I'm sorry, we got a little problem with the computer. Hold on one second.
The fucker, man, come on.
Hold on.
He's got all that fucking hair. That's his problem. He can't get the fucking brain waves in that motherfucker. It's like a force field. Shit. Come on, Craig. That was my best thing too, man. You know, I was like, I could feel it. I was in the motherfucking, you know, they had the dance halls in the Bahamas and the big girls are doing the big.
Hey, we're back on.
Okay, we're cool.
We're back on, right?
We're back on.
Here we go.
Don't fuck it up again, Craig. You hear me? Rock and roll, Miss Sister, till my dick is dead. Let me pop that booty till I blow up your head. Gonna splash it all over and let love rule. Make it drop on your face, let it drip like drool. Smack that booty till it's like a boxing bag. Shove it in the back door, fuck you like a fag. You scream, crazy killer, like you was my bitch. Just like those white boys, Abercrombie and Fitch. Toss it right to Lenny to get his run. You know why? Cause it ain't no fun if my homie can't have none. Be a rabbit, be a priest, get a motherfucker. Wait,
Stop.
You like that shit, right? I was wrong on that motherfucker. You get that, Craig?
So I do this whole. I'll give you.
Slip off those wet panties and undo your bra so I can get this black velvet in your kunde la. I'm a stone cold killer with one crazy eye. Gonna watch that booty pop till it make me cry. Gonna get that left rule all over your face. Make a trip in your mouth so you can get a taste. You better back that booty up like a pickup truck. Beep, 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 beep. Motherfucker, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Stop.
What?
Say he's like.
Yeah, so we have Chris in the studio and Lenny listening outside, just to set it up for the non-viewing audience. That was a hell of a rap.
So he's like, that's not what we're going for, because I was being too hard as Crazy Eyes. You know, obviously this, it's offensive and it's ridiculous. But so we shot a whole episode, and Lenny never released it. We never released it. That's the only thing that I have from it. So it was fun to do. And I've been recognized all over the world for Crazy Eyes, which is cool. I've been like, I was in the subway in Spain, and a guy goes to me, goes, excuse me, are you Crazy Eyes? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh my God, I'm here to film the Australian, the Open, the tennis. It's like, oh my God. So all over the world, I've gotten Crazy Eyes stuff, which is serious love.
Is that the role you get most like recognized by, just like random people on the street?
Yeah. Well, I get, Hoover from Silicon Valley.
I was gonna say that.
Yeah.
To me, that's such a funny contrast: Crazy Eyes versus Hoover, like the over the top bombastic rapper. Dodgeball, yeah.
Well, but I mean, in all three of those, you play such dramatically different personalities. Like, I loved Silicon Valley. I mean, I absolutely loved that show. I thought, like, I mean, I liked Veep also, but I thought, like, when they were competing on, like, back to back on Sunday nights on HBO, I thought, like, Silicon Valley was like just incredible. And yeah, you play like opposite Gavin Belson, such a different character that I didn't realize was you at first, because you're like, you're so dramatically different. Like, you're like desperately sycophantic, but like, I think a huge, like, you can't really act out because you're like playing sort of the straight man, but you act so dramatically with your eyes in that show, I think, which, and obviously you do in Curb. I mean, you're literally called Crazy Eyes. And I mean, Dodgeball also, really, it's the same thing where you're like this, like almost like this scared little pussy. And sorry, I shouldn't say that. Sort of scared little guy in a lot of ways. But yeah, and your eyes are sort of bulging out. And I wonder, like, has that become something like in casting and stuff? Are they looking at you for that?
The good thing about being versatile is that I can do anything and everything, but this is me and my sister from Ugly Betty. Uh-huh. And I did a movie with Anthony
Hopkins. She's the one on the right, right?
I did The World's Fastest Indian and Total Drag with Anthony Hopkins. And so a lot of times they don't know, I can do anything, but they don't know exactly what to do with me. Like, I can, if you give me something, I can do it. But if they want that, if they're like, for instance, I would never get on Curb. There's no way I would even get on Curb if I auditioned for it now. Because it's all stunt casting now. It's all like actual, you know, people, Vince Vaughn, I mean, big names,
big names.
Love doing Curb and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, I wouldn't even get close to, I was just on the cusp between, Ghost Chase Killah and those guys. If they were fans of Curb, maybe they would have gone on it, but I just got in under the gun.
One of the things we like to talk about as a recurring idea is like comparing the actors who play themselves versus those who play characters. And that's like a bar that increasingly rises as the series goes on, where it's like anyone like approaching even like, you know, there's no way an A-list actor is coming on season one or two of Curb and just like saying like, oh, I'm going to be like Larry's neighbor. Like, no, they're playing themselves. But by the very end, to your point, like, you have people like Vince Vaughn and other household names that are just like, yeah, I'll go on Curb and just like play whoever they want.
Exactly. So I'm lucky I got in right under the gun.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we talked about sort of the most famous people to, as I've said, play themselves on Curb. And it's not until like the end of what is it? Season five is when he he's in heaven and Dustin Hoffman is one of his angels.
Right. And Sacha Baron Cohen, who was.
And Sacha. Well, Sacha Baron Cohen wasn't that big at that point.
Well, I think that was after Borat had already been in theaters.
Was it? I mean, it had been on HBO, Borat. Yeah, I forget.
Oh, but, okay. It might have been in between.
But she had. Yeah. You had people who we loved, like Bob Odenkirk or whatever, but they, I don't know if they were, or Ed Asner even, but you know, he was mostly a sitcom guy.
And my friend Maz Jobrani was on it. Maz Jobrani's a huge comedian. He's,
yeah, big comedian.
And,
yeah, but
and
at the
Betty
time,
who
he
played
was...
the Palestinian chicken. She was in my acting class. She was a good friend of mine too.
Yeah. Well, spoiler alert: we're only through season six on the podcast, but yeah, I'm joking. But that's okay. That's coming. That's season eight, I think, right?
I think it was before that.
Yeah, Palestinian chicken season. Yeah, 8.3. I see.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Season seven is the whole Seinfeld plot line.
Yeah.
Seinfeld reunion. Okay. Maz was on that one. Season seven.
All right. So let's jump into our bracket here. And the way we did it, the seeding is just
I don't know if we've introduced what we're doing.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Oh, we haven't at all. Okay. So we
spoke about it before we got on, before we started recording. But I don't know if the audience knows what.
Okay. So tell us what we're doing here.
So we, in honor of having Chris here, who was one of the ultimate come with guys, not only because he has come twice on our podcast now, but because he plays one of the most memorable single or double appearing characters in the history of Curb. So what we have done is we have a recurring theme on this podcast, as any good listener of this podcast knows, called the come with guy. And what we are going to do today is have a come with guy bracket in the honor of the recently passing March Madness season. And we have chosen 16 of what we consider to be the best come with guys that have appeared on the show to this point. And we've excluded a couple very large names like Larry David, Jeff and Susie Green, a couple others who are on a lot of episodes. And we've limited it to those who appeared only a couple of times.
Not people who are primary characters, but people who they pop in, they're come with guys. They dominate for a short period.
Right. So I don't think we've limited
the Odd Waiters Award, as they call it
correct. Exactly right. Yeah. It really is that to an extent. Someone who showed up for one, maybe two episodes and just kind of stole the show. And we've selected the 16 best in our sole discretion of who we think is the best.
And I'm sure we miss people, and you can tell us, we forgot this person, totally valid.
Yeah. And if you are one of the people that we skipped, then what I would suggest is that
come on
the podcast and we'll do another bracket with you in it.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it goes.
Why do you think I'm here?
Vivica, I'm sorry we didn't rank Loretta. We thought she was too much of a primary character, but come on the podcast and tell us why we're wrong.
Yeah. We'll redo the whole bracket. Yeah. No problem.
As I said, anything is possible, right?
I just seeded
these 16 just sequentially when they from the episode that they were the come with guy from, so it's just sort of chronologically. There's no thumb on the scale with seedings or anything like that.
Oh, you didn't search the internet for an average all the rankings of all the different characters. That's what you usually do with stuff like this.
Yeah, it's shocking, I know.
Okay, so we're just going in chronological order. So the first two to appear will be the one seed and the two seed, essentially.
No, it'll be the one seed and the 16 seed. So the most recent.
Right. So the seedings don't really mean anything.
It's funny, Chris, you were talking before about the various things that have come out of the show. If this show was on a network sitcom or Curb in 1978, and then you come on with Crazy Eyes. Obviously, that would never happen because there's a reason it's on HBO. But you would have had your own sitcom in 1979, on Tuesday nights or whatever, because it was such a massive character. I talked about on the Crazy Eyes episode, and also I mentioned when you came on with Tim, it was the episode for me and a lot of other people I know, because they've told me anecdotally. It was the episode that got us into Curb, because we hadn't seen Curb for 3.5 seasons. And we had friends say, you have to watch this Crazy Eyes Kill episode that was just on this week. And then we watch an episode and then it sucks us into the whole show. So that's really hopefully what most of these 16 today did. All right. So we're going to start with the one seed, which is from season one, episode 3, is the aforementioned Bob Odenkirk, who played Porno Gil. Let's remind ourselves of a little bit of Porno Gil. You guys can hear,
I was doing a scene and... It was supposed to be a new girl scene, right? You mind if I... mind? I mean, these guys have heard half these stories. You guys were right. So I'm doing this scene. It's supposed to be two girls. And I keep waiting for the other... We keep waiting for the other girl to show up. And I'm fucking this girl for 3 hours. pounding, oh, wow. For hours.
As one does.
Hours and hours. And then all of a sudden, after a couple hours, it feels like some chick's teabagging me. Right?
Yeah,
right.
You should fill her in on teabagging. I'm sure she
maybe
do.
You know what teabagging is? When a woman sucks
2021,
your ball,
we all know.
Or a man.
But so I feel that, and I think that other girl's shown up, and then I feel her fingers on my balls, and I'm not even looking. I'm just so I'm half asleep. But I turn around. It's not the girl. It is the biggest crew guy we got is playing with my balls.
This guy. Maybe it was delicious.
My foot starts going down, and I haven't even shot yet. And I go, I'm going down. And this guy goes, I'll take care of it. He runs over to the craft service table. He comes back. His finger is red. Right. Oh. Sticks it up my ass. Tabasco sauce. I stayed hard for another 2 hours because all the blood just goes.
All right, so Chris, let me ask you, based on your experience on the show, how much of that scene is Larry's told, or the show told Bob Odenkirk, hit this mark, and how much is that just Bob Odenkirk having a good old time?
I thought you were going to ask him, based on his experience, what he knows about this Tabasco sauce.
Oh. Yeah, does it really work?
I'm a big habanero fan. I think that's all Bob. That's all him. I mean, as he said, you get points and plot points that you have to hit, but that is not anything.
That's not the plot.
And maybe he got something in there, but most of that's 90% of that has to be him.
Yeah, he was probably told, like, tell a story about your days in porn or something like that.
Right. And who knows what was up.
Yeah. Just an incredible performance by in episode 3. So when Bob Odenkirk films that, it's not like anybody knows what Curb is or is going to become.
Right.
And yeah, he really hits that out of the park. All right, so he is going against the 16 seed from an episode that we just saw a couple of weeks ago. It is, if I can click my different tab here, it is Steve Coogan, who plays Dr. Bright, Larry's shrink, who gave him some good advice and then some very bad advice. And this is where Larry confronts him about the bad advice and coerces him to get involved with one of Larry's shenanigans.
Oh. You ruined my life. Okay?
Okay.
Give her an ultimatum?
Whoa.
What the fuck was that? I was this close.
Larry, you're
this close.
You're angry.
She's gone.
It's a setback.
I told you she wasn't bothered by the high pussy percentage, but you didn't listen to me.
We ran out of time. I had to see someone else. It was suicidal.
You know what we're going to do now? We're going to go to our house, tell her that the whole thing was your idea.
Okay, we'll have a session. Let's have a session.
No, I don't want to have a session. You're going to tell her that you told me to give her that stupid ultimatum.
Barry.
Sorry for popping in on you like this.
Hello, I'm Dr. Bright.
This is my therapist.
Hi, I'm Cheryl.
Can we come in and talk to you for just a few minutes?
Barry.
Huh? It won't take long.
I guess so. Come on in.
Cheryl's looking excellent in this episode, by the way.
And her face acting. Yeah, her face acting there is so good. This resignation of like, I guess I have to deal with Larry David more.
Yeah.
Wow, places are expensive on the water, aren't they?
You have $400 million.
Yeah. I should do something nice for myself, sort of a love me gift. And I decided, you know what? I've always wanted to live on the beach. I can do it now. So
very good advice.
Yeah.
Oh, you think so? I don't remember you telling me to get any love me gifts.
We were moving on to that at some point.
Oh, really?
We would have arrived at that.
Interesting.
So, what do you guys need to tell me?
Go ahead, Bright.
Okay. I gave Larry some flawed advice. I told Larry to give you an ultimatum.
He told me to say that.
You told him to say that.
Because the picture that was painted of you was not the person I'm seeing. Well, you know, not... No,
what?
No. I mean, you...
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just had a... It means nothing.
What did you think?
I thought maybe you were the kind of person who would like an ultimatum, and you're not.
What clearly. Picture are you painting of me?
Just a loving portrayal.
Exactly. It was a deeply loving portrayal, but.
Well, what have I been saying about her?
You didn't describe her like physically, which I didn't know what she looked like, and that's why I'm just saying, I'm just impressed.
Why would it matter what somebody looks like physically? What kind of advice you give?
You know, you get the face you deserve, right? That the face tells a story.
All right. The point is, you can get an idea of the person who I've been listening to here, huh? Is it coming through to you?
Yeah.
So you told Larry to give me an ultimatum. Fine. Okay, now I know that. So.
And I just want to say...
He's to blame for the...
90% to blame for everything.
90? I think 100%. 100% to blame.
Well, I'm taking the lion's share. I'm just saying...
No, take more than...
All right. It's a long scene. It's very good. And honestly, I think that... You know, he has more scenes, obviously, in the episode than Porno Gil has. This isn't even his best scene, necessarily. Maybe I made a bad choice with the clip. When I searched on YouTube, it was the easiest one to find. I forget. But, I mean, the lengths he goes to in this episode with Larry to, he ends up in prison and his life is totally ruined. Quite dramatic. But both great performances, both great characters. Chris, why don't you go first? Why don't you tell us which one of these Come With Guys should advance to the next round?
I gotta go with Porno. Porno, he was just... That's really good stuff.
Yeah. No, that scene
I love Steve Coogan.
Is the most amazing scene. Yeah.
That's incredible. That's up there.
All right, Alf, what are you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, like what you said is correct. And it's like I think in some ways, like the totality of the performances Dr. Bright, Steve Coogan may eclipse Bob Odenkirk. It's definitely close. But you know, certainly based on what was shared on this episode, Bob Odenkirk has wiped the floor.
Yeah, it's a little unfair. But
Gonzaga,
hey, listen,
Gonzaga was undefeated.
Yep,
it's one and done. Gonzaga was undefeated all the way to the end. Doesn't matter what you have that last.
That's
game,
right.
You got to win.
This is what Steve Coogan showed up to for the bracket. So, I'm gonna vote for Bob Kirk as well. You know, I think it's pretty close either way. If we did like the Hall character, but certainly that episode, that clip is just like such a standout.
Yeah, no, the clip certainly I think doomed Dr. Bright's chances. I think overall the character is just incredible what he goes through in that whole episode. And I mean, you know, he literally is a come with guy.
We talked about last week that the robbery scene itself, where he gets arrested and then resists
purely
arrest
physical
and
comedy
escapes.
In the background. He's got no words in the scene; he's in the background.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really an incredible character. But also, I think Porno Gil, like, because it's so early in the show. Now, I didn't see it live because I got brought in by Crazy Eyes 2.5 years later, or more than that in real time. I think when you do go watch from the beginning from episode one. And also he gets the name of the episode, sort of like Crazy Eyes. I think this, he really like jumps out at you and like, oh, this is a very different show than Seinfeld, right? Like, you know, this is Larry David and there's a little bit of George Costanza you see, but like, this is going to be a very, very different show. And so Porno Gil is a very legendary in that sense. All right. He is going to go up. He's going to advance. The next matchup is, I guess, our 8-9 matchup. And so purely chronologically, from season 3, episode 10, the grand opening is a legendary fucking asshole by Curb standards. So that is Andy Portico.
I brought you your lunch. Excuse me.
Please.
It's spaghetti with marinara sauce and some cheese.
Okay, you fucking idiot. You fucking moron. How am I supposed to eat that, huh? Am I supposed to suck it up my ass? Didn't I ask you to get me a protein shake or something I could eat like through a straw? So listen, I'm fucking hungry, so order me something. I don't care what it is. Give me something I can fucking eat.
I'll order something else.
Jesus. I mean,
fucking idiot. Huh?
It's not.
I love how Larry switches there. Like his face while he's blasting her is like, oh my God, this guy is crazy. And then as soon as she leaves, he's like, fucking idiot, right?
Yeah. It's amazing. And, you know, sort of like Chris, how you talked about coming in the room and just, you know, throwing 100-mile heaters right away. That, you know, the Andy Portico character in this episode, which is Paul Wilson, he comes in and immediately just is fly. I mean, we saw a little bit of him before, obviously, you know, we see him playing dodgeball and how he gets injured and everything. But this episode, he just takes it up so quickly and so dramatically. It's really incredible.
So good.
Yeah. And now he's going, it's a little bit opposite the previous matchup where the first, or actually sort of the similar, where the first one in the matchup is somebody who comes in really hot. And the other one is a person who we see multiple scenes of and really is a nice simmer. So this is Monina, the hooker who you previously mentioned, Kim Whitley. She's got a whole bunch of, you know, by the end of the episode, she'll be smoking weed with Nat David. But this is our introduction to Monina on Curb.
Hey, Daddy. You want a date with Mama?
Get in the car.
Well, I take back what I said. Her first 10 seconds is like, here I am.
Yeah.
So hey, Daddy. Do you want a date with Mama?
What you into today? A little lollipop love? A little digging for diamonds?
See, actually, I'm not really interested in any sex per se.
Per se.
Do you want them freaky motherfuckers?
Per se.
To tell you the truth, what I'd really like to do is I want to go to Dodger Stadium, and I want to go to the game, and I'll pay you for your time. Maybe, 5 hours it'll be.
You just want me to sit in the car?
Just sit in the car. That's all you have to do.
Oh, you a crazy son of a bitch. All right. $1,000.
$1,000? What, are you kidding me?
That's,
$200 an hour?
Exactly. I can get 4 blowjobs. An hour.
4 blowjobs in an hour?
Oh, yes, I'm good. Okay.
Hey, I drove a cab. I used to drive around for 2 hours. I couldn't get a fare. You're telling me you're getting 4 blowjobs in an hour?
Yes, honey. You done picked up the best. Honey, I got a red snapper that talks to you.
You know what
I don't
saying?
Know if Larry David was offering blowjobs.
Way too problems. Much.
All right. I think we discussed, I mean, I never remember we discussed this the first time we saw the episode, but maybe we'll get Chris's input here. Chris, I think lollipop love, we can figure out what that is with a high probability of action. What do you think digging for diamonds is?
That's a good question. What is digging for diamonds?
Yeah, ask him.
I will ask her what.
Yeah,
I'm trying to ask her right now.
Yeah, because I think we've now established she obviously made that up, right? Now this is.
No, there's no way Larry David told her. You got a red snapper that talks to you. Yeah.
There is there's a definition of it on Urban Dictionary. Although I guess it redirects you to pay for diamond mining, which is going down on a girl who has been vajazzled.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah.
So is that what it's supposed to be? That so she's got jewelry down there. That's all she's saying.
Yes. 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 Okay. That's what it is.
All right.
Digging for diamonds. Exactly.
So I guess if he said that's not his thing, she'll remove the vajazzle.
Yeah. No, you always got to be vajazzled. You never know who you're going to meet. This episode brought to you by vajazzlers.com. Enter promo code pretty good to get 20% off your vajayjay jewelry. All right. So, Av, why don't you go first here? Where are we going between Andy Portico, who was not our come with guy in the episode, but he was our fucking asshole for a long, long, long time. We thought he was the biggest asshole in the show. I mean, he carried that belt for what, like 12 episodes or something like that?
Yeah, no, he's real bad. Yeah. I mean, you just got to go Monina here. I mean, Andy Portico was really, really great. You know, obviously he learned zero of the five rules of dodgeball and broke his fingers. but, you know, and he's really, really nasty to this woman. And, you know, it's enjoyable to see that the comedy there. But, you know, Monina, even just in this scene, I think she beats him. And then when you take into account the full totality of the episode, it's a rout.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, when she's smoking weed with Nat, it's amazing. I mean, we have a dodgeball champion here on with us, though. So I don't know. Yeah. What can you tell us about Andy Portico's strategy and how he plays and goes to catch the ball there?
Yeah, you know, you got to keep your hands wide open. You got to keep you wide open.
And, yeah, don't lead with the thumbs.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Don't never leave the thumbs.
Also, don't be like an overweight 60-year-old guy competing against a bunch of children in dodgeball. But that's weird for other reasons. I guess the weight has nothing to do with it. Don't be a 60-year-old guy competing in dodgeball with children.
Yeah.
It's probably the move there. All right. So we have, I guess we'll come back to the next round later. So let's go to our next matchup is our fourth character sequentially. And that is Shaquille O'Neal playing himself. And Shaq somehow, like Crazy Eyes, managed to convince Curb to name the episode after himself as well. So this is from the episode called Shaq. And this is Shaq with Aisha Tyler, who's playing his girlfriend at the time on the show.
What do you got, big guy?
Peanut butter. Dairy product.
No.
Peanut butter.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Peanut butter is not a dairy product.
Not dairy.
The whole world knows peanut butter is a dairy product. Shaq. What are you talking
dairy
about?
Dairy is from a cow. Peanuts are not a dairy product.
Peanut butter.
Ooh. Okay, peanuts come from the ground or something.
Almer, what's up, hey, baby? Pal. How you doing?
Look who I found wandering the halls. Larry David, Shaquille O'Neal. He's got something he wants to say to you.
I'm so sorry about the incident. And I don't know how that could have happened. I was stretched. I never sat there before. I'm sorry.
Is that supposed to help? Sorry?
I don't even know what to do to make it up to you. I brought you these Seinfeld tapes. Albert told me you were a big Seinfeld fan. I got you all the tapes of every episode.
You have every tape of every show.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, listen.
Oh, Scattergories.
Dairy products. Uh-huh. Peanut butter would be considered a dairy product. Am I correct?
Absolutely, butter.
Oh, thank you.
Butter. There's butter in there. Are you kidding?
Okay, listen. No.
I've got Pendant, Porsche, Popeye, Pago Pago, and Provolone.
Doc's killing us.
He's a smart guy. I'm going to go to the can. I'll be right back.
Told you he was smart. What's the score?
All right. Well, now he has 26.
And what do I have?
You have 25.
And what do you got?
I have 25.
By the way, didn't the doctor mention five items for P?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no Pago Pago and Provolone on this list if you just want to check it out.
Oh, my God.
The doc is cheating his categories?
He was obviously making it up after the time ran out.
Why would you cheat at categories?
A doctor.
Why would you? A doctor.
You want to play another game?
Doc.
Yeah.
How can you cheat at categories?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean? You gave us five names. It's only three here. Listen, Doc. You know what? I'm sick and tired of you. You're fired. Get out. Albert.
I didn't cheat anything.
Get this guy out of there.
Your list You're fired.
I want you.
Get out. Get out.
Come on. Al, come on. I told you to get out.
Get his ass out of here.
The timer ran out. I didn't hear the timer.
The timer didn't run out. You cheated. You cheated.
It's the timer.
No, it's not the timer. Get out.
I was going to write it down.
Don't go to nothing. Go and get your ass out of here. Get out.
Get out.
You got to go.
Don't you say goodbye?
Notice how no one ever says goodbye anymore?
Have you noticed?
By the way, the move, if you're the doctor here, is like, if you get caught cheating in categories, immediately own up to it and just laugh it off and say, you know, try and make a joke out of it. Don't deny it. That's not.
Yeah, definitely don't lose your doctoring job over categories. Yeah.
All right. So Shaq comes on, obviously, you know, one of the biggest, celebrities on the show, and certainly in season two, you know, Shaq, probably more famous in the world than anyone else who comes on the show, you know, later, Mel Brooks, Martin Scorsese, Ted Danson, Jerry Seinfeld, Ben Stiller, like these guys are all extremely famous, but like Shaq is Shaq in every country in the world. You know, just a huge get for the show. And he's very, very funny there. And he's going up against the character from season five, by the way, just for the officials keeping records at home here. We have two characters from season one, two from season two, four from seasons three and four, and then two from seasons five and six. Not implying anything about seasons. That's just the way it works out.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see him making any free throws in that clip that we saw there. So, you know, I'm going to withhold judgment on how he's going to fare up against Leo, the deli owner.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm at the wrong point in the episode, though. So,
all right.
Music is so iconic. The music is just.
Yeah. I've said before that like, for me, I have this like Pavlovian connection between the HBO static sound and then the next thing my brain hears is the Curb music. There was a while where it was Game of Thrones, but now that that's gone, it's always Curb. And like, I've watched so many shows that I love and with like iconic theme songs, Sopranos, The Wire, Silicon Valley. Like, there's tons of like theme songs that I know, but it's like Curb is always the one that I hear.
Yeah. Do they do does HBO do the sound anymore? I guess not, huh?
What the?
I don't know if they do it on HBO Max. That's a good question. Static.
The static sound? No, they do.
Yeah.
I've been watching. But yeah,
they do it for like HBO Max shows. I'm not sure if they do.
Yeah, you're saying I'm seeing it when I'm watching an episode of Curb or whatever. So,
right. Yeah. They're not going to go in and like change that.
I think so. Because I just saw a show, Beforeners, and that show had like a different version because it was like HBO Europe.
Right. But they still have the static?
Yeah, they had the static, but it was a little bit different.
All right. I'm gonna look while we're going. I'm gonna look to see if like flight attendant has it.
You stole my sandwich. Is that what you did?
What the hell are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
What are you talking about?
You stole my sandwich.
What the fuck does that mean?
What? Look at the board.
Why are you blaming me?
I saw you talking to him outside the
you're
temple.
Out of your fucking mind.
You don't think I saw you talking to him outside the temple?
I always talk to people outside. It's fresh as shit. It's a new year. I talked to Del Vio. I talked to Paul.
Leo, can I please have a sandwich? Please. You were so jealous that I had a sandwich up there, and you just couldn't take it, could you? You had to get your little sandwich. I got a piece of information for you.
What is it?
I can't
wait. What is it?
Oh, this is where we were supposed to start. Whoops.
I'm adopted.
Bullshit?
Bullshit? No, it's not bullshit.
What do you mean you're adopted?
I'm adopted.
How do you know?
My father told me.
You don't know who your parents are?
I know they're not those nuts. I know that. But I know who yours are.
Fuck. Enjoy your whitefish. Enjoy.
Larry.
Yeah.
Larry, you are adopted?
Yeah.
I adopted too. You are my brother. We are the brother of the adopted. Larry, come on over here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you have any sandwich you want.
Really?
Yeah, anyone you want, take it. Go ahead, take it.
Oh, boy.
Take it.
Well, it's a tough decision.
Okay, I wait.
I think I'm going to have to go with that Ted Danson.
Ted Danson?
Yeah.
This yours.
Thank you.
Hey, the son of a bitch, you don't come in anyway. You got it.
Thank you. Hey, Dr. Sewell. I want you to meet a friend of mine, Leo. This is Dr. Sewell.
Leo.
How are you?
Comes to Larry's rescue there. Because Larry, thought the doctor was a little too shaky to be operating on his father. All right. So we have Shaq going up against Leo, the deli owner. I'll go first here. Leo. Yeah. I like how he goes right in for the hug, by the way. Crazy Eyes, you said that when Crazy Eyes tries it, you said, Chris, that Larry's not necessarily much for a hugger. But yeah, Leo just grabs him. I guess that's part of the character, that he's very physical and hurting people all the time. Shaq, can he hurt Leo here? I will say I'm going to vote for for Shaq. Again, just a part of it is also like when it came on the show, it was like such a big deal. I think, again, I saw it in later, but I'm like, when you see it, you're like, how did I miss a show? Like how, like I loved Seinfeld. How did I miss a show that was so big in season 2 that it was getting Shaq on the show? Like, how did I miss it? It's sort of like my reaction when I saw this, since I, you know, came in a year, a couple of years after that. So I'm going to vote for Shaq here. Chris, what about you?
I think I'm going Leo. Because Shaq was, I bet you he was given that peanut butter thing that he didn't come up with himself. Mm, we're just going performance wise for me. I will go.
Leo played by Edo Ross, by the way.
Yeah, I will go Leo for me. Leo.
Yeah, so you're looking at it from the actor's perspective, which definitely makes sense. Av, we have our first overtime matchup here.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the peanut butter bit so much. And like, even if it's not that Shaq made it up, it's just like such a funny thing. And like the way he commits to it, and like he like winks at Larry to play along. You know, we just went through a holiday where a bunch of rabbis decided that peanut butter is bread. So peanut butter can be a dairy product too, like whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to vote for Shaq here. You know, I do love Leo. You know, gives a strong handshake, you know, names the sandwich after Larry. He's happy to switch it with Ted Danson. He doesn't give a shit, whatever. But yeah, the peanut butter thing just like makes me crack up every time. Just like the peanut butter.
Yeah, I can't you totally see like Shaq and Charles Barkley like getting into that on TNT, like that whole Shaq, the peanut butter debate. I can see it really happening. So yeah, I definitely like it. All right, so Shaq is gonna advance. He is gonna face in the 5-12 matchup. From 5 is from season 3, episode 3, Club Soda and Salt. It's Brad, who is Cheryl's friend, who is acting. So we have like a show within a show, sort of a meta scene we're going to watch here of Brad.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Angelo. Antola. Antola.
Hi, Brad.
Yeah. He's in character here.
Hey, so you with Tony side or Tina side?
Brad, you know, cut the shit, okay?
Shit, Brad, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I'm on Tina's side, so.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Me and Tina, we're close. Oh, it's a shame she's gonna marry that jerk. Only doing it for the money. She don't love him. She doesn't love him. But me and Tina, that's a different story. We got something special, me and her.
Oh, do you?
Between the two of us, no one would understand, really.
Yeah, well, you're a very complex person.
Thank you. We have a better understanding of things than that cocksucker.
That cocksucker, Tony.
Yeah, that cocksucker.
Yeah, he's a cocksucker, Tony.
Yeah, one day me and Tina will end up together, because this will never work.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Then I'll finally slip her the sausage.
Oh, is that right?
That's
right.
That
very formidable sausage of yours.
And she will be forever grateful, my friend.
Yeah, it's been fun doing this little improv with you.
Improv, whatever you want to call it.
See you later at the restaurant.
At the reception, you bet. I'll swing by, I'll say
hello. Yeah, well, you're good, that's good. Okay,
that's not
bad. You swing by. I'll see you later, okay? I'll see you later.
Okay.
You know, we're going through these things, and like the thing I keep thinking, I'm like, you know who's really funny? Larry David.
Yeah,
he just he's like a much better actor than you would think. Like he just like plays off these like big characters so well.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's very good. This reason we like the show and the other one.
yeah. Hot take. Larry David's good.
All right. First, the 12 seed is so that was from season 3. This is from season 4, opening night, the final episode of the season. It is Katie Huffman, who was on this podcast herself discussing this scene and this episode. And here's Katie's final scene on Curb, other than on the stage.
What's that?
What?
What's that?
What?
What's that?
Is that Bush? You got a picture of Bush in your dressing room?
Yeah.
You're a Republican?
Yes, Larry, I'm a Republican.
All All right. So, Av, where are you going here between Brad the actor and Katie Huffman?
This is tough because, like, this is another one where it's like the totality of the character versus the scene we saw. I mean, yeah. I think.
And Katie's
like,
in all season, obviously. She comes and goes a few times.
So obviously, I think the Brad scene is funnier, but I'm going to go the other direction here and say just like Katie was just like awesome throughout the whole season. Obviously, she gets lots of bonus points for coming on our podcast. Yeah. Josh Temple did not do so. Mm. So, at least for the first round, I'm gonna go with that and I'm going to vote for Katie here.
All right, that's fair. If we were doing like the best come with guy or gal on this podcast, Katie would definitely advance, as we do, Chris, of course.
Yeah. She's very high. She's for sure in the top five.
Yeah. But I'm going to vote for Brad here, and I'll let Chris be our deciding vote this time. Just the scene, the proverbial sausage, that whole thing is amazing. And again, he's playing an actor within an actor because it's sort of a live theater where they sort of walk around. But then also, you know, is he talking to Larry, talking about Cheryl? And so, yeah, it's very well done. I really like that scene, and I really like the whole episode. There's this like ongoing threat, especially when we look back, knowing what happens to the Larry and Cheryl relationship later. There's all these threats coming. Is it Ted Danson or is it Brad? All these various friends, and Larry's always feeling threatened. And maybe there's a reason he should have felt threatened, and maybe he should have been less of an asshole to Cheryl. But so I'm voting for Brad here. What about you, Chris?
Also, that's a tough one. Huh. I like the Brad. I was initially going to go to Brad, but I think I'm going to go Katie.
She gave Larry his best chance to, cash in on his
and
gift.
What I like the fact is that she's you. I mean, this is just so I'm coming bring it from the performer's perspective. But she is not dissuaded by him at all, knowing that he's not going to like that. She just keeps on going. She just keeps on going, and she's like, "Yeah, so what?" You know. Yeah. I think so. I'm going to go with her. No, yeah. Katie.
It is funny because like, and obviously, you know, George Bush, his reputation really was burnished by, the next guy being so much worse. The next guy from his
Obama
party.
We're talking about, right?
Yeah. But like, I hate to say this, but like, I feel like in like the MAGA world, like, it's probably not uncommon for people to like have pictures of him up next to where they're, you know, trying to get it on, as disturbing as that may be. But it was so absurd for Katie Huffman to have that, even, you know, when if people really like George Bush, you know, he won election twice, which Trump didn't do. But it's very, very funny. So that brings two people who played themselves meeting up in the second round. Now it's Shaq against Katie Huffman. And let's do these two matchups before I go to the other side. So Shaq and Katie Huffman, people are always comparing them to each other. You know, they're such similar people in all ways, especially, you know, physically, you can barely tell them apart. Who's the better come with guy on Curb Your Enthusiasm? Is it Shaquille O'Neal or Katie Huffman?
That's got to be Katie Huffman, of course. Shaq has the one scene. Katie Huffman has like eight really good scenes. She went on a podcast about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. That obviously has ingratiated her to the Curb fandom very strongly. You got to go Katie Huffman, even if she is a Republican.
Now, to be fair, we did have a Shaq impersonator on the Shaq episode.
Right, that's true.
And we pretended.
Have we acknowledged at this point that wasn't really Shaq?
I was about to say, we played it straight. This is the first time that we're letting listeners know. Listeners, hold on to your hats. That was not actually the real Shaquille O'Neal.
I actually didn't know that either. Chester told me that.
Yeah.
That was really
we weren't on video in that episode, I guess. our guest Zach Muhammad is slightly smaller than Shaquille O'Neal, I think.
Yeah, Zach Muhammad's a great come with guy.
Yeah, but if it was on video, everyone would have known he wasn't Shaq. But yeah, it's an audio podcast only. And so, he did a very good Shaq impression. And until this moment, I didn't know that it wasn't actually Shaq. But you vote for Katie Huffman. Chris, what about you?
I'll go Katie as well.
All right, so Katie advances, knocks Shaq out. Very, very unusual for a bracket, a basketball-style tournament for Katie Huffman to beat Shaquille O'Neal. But, you know, anything can happen on any day. UCLA almost beat Gonzaga, and God damn it. But anyway, all right, so let's...
Chester almost won $32,000 if UCLA had won that game. He had he was in a survivor pool.
You're kidding me. Yeah.
Lost on a half-court shot in overtime.
God, that's the worst.
Yeah. It was unfortunate. Very, very close. All right. So we have Porno Gil going up against Monina for the opportunity to face Katie. Who are you going to vote for between Porno Gil and Monina?
Porno Gil is nice, but, you know, Monina is an all-time great. So, you got to go Monina here.
Yeah.
Sorry to say, Bob.
Nat says at the end of the episode, oh, my God. She's a hooker when he can see. Really grimacing. Where's the old white guy going to go with this one? All right, Chris, what about you?
I'm going Monina as well.
Yeah.
All right, even though I love the porno girl.
Yeah.
I got to go with my girl.
All right, so we have Monina and Katie Hoffman in the final four. We'll come back to that. Let's go to the other side of the bracket. We'll start with the 2-15 matchup. So two is from the season finale in season one, the group, and it's Lucy Montone, played by Melanie Smith, and she is a friend of Larry's from back in the day. Apparently, well, more than a friend, they dated back when they lived in New York, and she's about to run into Cheryl and Larry, who she hasn't seen in quite some time. Well, I don't think she's ever seen Cheryl, but she hasn't seen Larry in quite some time. And now I think this is the scene actually where later on in the episode, they are at lunch and she tells Larry why she's back in Larry's life, what favor she needs from Larry.
Anyway, what's going on? I'm very curious as to why you invited me to lunch.
Well, okay, remember when we were dating and I told you about my stepfather and what happened?
Yep.
My stepdad, yeah.
Yep. And did not breathe a word of it to anyone.
Good, because you're the only person I ever told about that. But I kind of feel like what happened, I feel like it's really starting to affect my life a lot now. Mm. And there's something called an incest survivor group. So I don't want to go alone. And I was thinking maybe... Could you go with me? Do you want me to, like, spell it out? Can you go with me, Larry? Please.
You want me to go to the incest group with you?
Yeah.
What would I do there?
You just be there with me.
There's nobody else you feel comfortable going with?
Larry, there's nobody else who knows about what happened, except for, you know, my stepdad. I'm certainly not going to bring him.
Are you sure that you qualify for the stepfather? Is that considered incest?
No, seriously, if it's your stepfather, Larry, it's considered a date.
With all due respect to your ordeal, but
Larry,
I was just wondering if they consider that incest or not.
I guess it's a legitimate question, but that, the answer is yes, they consider that incest. And
when is it?
If you don't want to go,
no,
I'm not going to make it.
I'll go.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I want you to be okay.
All right. So, yeah. And then later on, when they go to the actual meeting with the group, we'll learn that step counts. So that's Lucy Montone. And she is going up against season six, episode five, John McEnroe, again, someone playing themselves. This is from the Freak Book. And this is Larry as the driver driving John McEnroe.
How you doing, Mr. McEnroe?
It's good. Good. Thanks.
Let old Charlie know whatever you need. Charlie's your guy.
All right, Charlie. Thanks.
Charlie is your man. Don't be shy.
Charlie, yeah. Listen, little tired right now, okay? Thanks.
Hey, let me ask you something. Were you shy as a child? Were you shy?
Yeah, I was, actually.
Like, I was shy when I was a kid. People always saying, don't be shy. I'm sure, what do you mean, don't be shy? What do you think, you have control of being shy? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
You ever play ping pong? Ping pong's my game. And I'll tell you something. I think it's a lot harder than tennis, with all due respect.
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with that, Charlie.
What do you do for fun? How do you have fun? How does a John McEnroe have fun?
I like to be quiet now, believe it or not.
You watch a lot of TV?
A lot of sports.
You have allergies?
No allergies.
Do you believe in gods? A god of some kind?
Yeah, I believe in a god. And I'm wondering where he is right now.
You like life?
Yeah, I like life.
Do you garden?
I don't garden, okay?
If you talk to people who garden, they'll all tell you the same thing. They find it very relaxing and meditative. And it looks like it. I admit it. I'm jealous of the gardener. Have you ever been jealous of a gardener?
No, I haven't, actually.
Are you married?
Yeah, I'm married.
I have sex once a week. How about you? Is that too personal?
Yeah, that's too personal. Well,
what's
okay?
The big deal? What's the big deal? To talk about that. I don't understand it. I have sex once a week, a good week twice, but I can go more than
hey,
once a week
really
without having it.
That's really interesting, okay, Charlie?
Oh, my God. Hey, I need to make a stop for 2 minutes. Would that be okay at this cemetery?
In the cemetery?
Yeah, it's right here. I can't believe it. I just need to make a stop just for a couple of minutes.
All right, whatever.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that. You're a good man. You are a good man.
Hmm.
Chris, have you ever been jealous of a gardener?
That's I am a gardener. You ask him off that?
All right, fine. How often do you have sex with your wife? By the way, I love how, you know, you've been talking about like the performance a lot. John McEnroe really gets to be the straight man there because Larry's just, you know, going off with these questions and John McEnroe's acting the way he probably would in that scenario, like trying to be polite, but shut the fuck up.
He's an excellent straight man there. He plays it perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Totally a great straight man. But also you can see the, even though it's quote unquote acting as himself, you can see the restraint that he has.
Yes.
It's really good. I mean, to be able to play yourself and then have some subtlety in, he's so annoyed. He puts his hand over his face. He's like, what do I have to do to shut this guy up? And he's been in that situation before.
He's doing a great job just like riffing off like in a meta way off his like persona. And it's like everyone, like even if you're not a tennis fan, like the one guy you know is John McEnroe, and like, oh yeah, he's the guy who like yells at the referees all the time. That's like, if you're not a tennis fan, he's like, that's the one thing you know. It's like he builds that into this character. Like you see it just like right below the surface, this guy is like ready to explode at this annoying limo driver, and he's working so hard to contain himself.
Yeah. But you know what it does remind me, when you're like that level of fame and people are doing this to you all the time, you have to be nice 100% of the time, because you can be nice 99.9% of the time, and then you know you're an asshole once, and then that person runs and like, you know, tells a blog about it or tweets
like
about
TMZ
it or whatever.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And now like, you know, now you're like the headline for the next 15 minutes for like the wrong reasons.
But he's established himself as an angry guy.
I guess you're right. Yeah. Maybe he can get away with it. Sort of like Larry can act like, you know, or like, you know, Susie says like on the street when people meet her that all they want them to do is, you know, insult them and curse them. Or, you know, you were saying when people, you know, want, when they
on Cameo,
you know, ask,
everyone
yeah,
just
on Cameo,
asked me
yeah.
to swear at them.
Curse out their father-in-law, right?
Yeah. I guess there's some upsides there to establishing that as the personality. All right. So Chris, who are you voting for between Lucy Montone and John McEnroe?
I love Lucy, but I'm going McEnroe. I thought that was a nice, subtle performance. It wasn't overdone.
Yeah,
it was. I liked it. I liked.
He's on a slow simmer. By the end of the episode, he's laughing uproariously at the freak book, and he's freaking out and screaming at people and kicking mourners out of his car. So you know, he definitely steps it up.
Well, he puts up with a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, beyond what you'd expect. What about you? Where's your vote?
Yeah, I got to go McEnroe as well. I mean, you know, we lauded his playing the straight man, and you know, he's down for the freak book. He's like, yeah, sure, I guess these random people could come in my limo. He puts up with Larry's shenanigans, and you know, as we'll later learn from Larry, Lucy Montone, you know, when he was in his fantasies, she wouldn't even do the lesbian scenes. She had a bad attitude. She was a total prima donna. I mean, you got to do the lesbian scenes. It's a fantasy. It's like, do whatever the guy wants. It's his fantasy. Yeah. You don't have to. It's not really you.
Not
so,
great.
Yeah, she's out.
I did have a dream actually a couple like maybe 4 or 5 nights ago that involved some racy scenes, and like the performance did not go as I was expecting, and I remember like being aware enough I was dreaming to be like, what the hell is going on here? This isn't supposed to be happening, like in a dream, like, you know.
Like, this is my fantasy. What are we doing here? Yeah, we can't even get them to do what I want.
Yeah. And I woke up and I was in such a pissy mood. And Jen's like, what's wrong? And I like explained it to her, and then she thought I was a crazy person. But, you know.
Oh, wow. I would not explain that to my wife in that moment.
No, I told her. No, because she was in the dream, and like she was the one who caused the interruption. So, I should have told her I respect her too much. She shouldn't have been there in the first place, as Larry tells her.
Yeah. Well, she was trying to intervene. It was one of those like things where, you know, like in a video game where like it won't let you beat the board. So it's like, the fact that she was even there, she's like, she's not going to let you complete.
You know what? I've gone far left down this road. I'm just going to tell the whole dream. So in this dream, my wife had said to me that she had, these two girls and I were going to have a threesome for some purpose, like for some.
Wasn't that a foursome?
No, and Jen.
Oh, she's not
watch.
Involved. She's just she was not she's involved. Just arranged. She's arranged for a threesome. She's eater of
snacks.
And she was gonna watch. And while she was watching, she was making sarcastic comments and like caustic commentary the whole time, like a John McEnroe would during a tennis match, and it was throwing me off my game, and like it was pissing off the other girls because she was like making fun of everybody, and I was like, why did you do that? And so I woke up mad at her, and she's like, why are you mad at me? And I said, well, you were really annoying in my dream. And she said, what did you do? And then I told her, and yeah, maybe not the best move, I don't know.
Yeah, humongous cock blocker, that Dr. Jen.
Yeah. So that was the dream I had a few nights ago. If you guys have any dreams you'd like to share, certainly you can go ahead. All right, so our next matchup,
we're gonna explore this though in a future episode. This insecurity you have about your wife setting you up with a threesome and then remaining there to sabotage it.
Yeah, is that an insecurity? I guess I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like this goes deeper. We're gonna give this some thought.
All right. So we So our next matchup is going to be Crazy Eyes Killa himself. Was seventh. He comes on season 3, episode 8, and he goes up against Wandering Bear, played by Russell Means, from season 4, episode 8. So first, this is the first scene where Larry meets Crazy Eyes.
I vote for Crazy Eyes.
What's cracking, Blake?
How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah. I'm chilling. What's up?
Chilling.
What's up, baby?
Just chilling.
Hey, you a writer, right?
Yeah.
I wrote some shit this morning. You know, I write my own lyrics and shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You want to help me out with it?
I've never written rap.
That's all right. I'm going to see what you got.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's see what you got, all right? Check this shit out. It's called I'm Coming to Get You.
I'm coming to get you. Okay.
Right. So you think you're going to cross me and mess with my shit? Opening your fucking trap and flapping your lip? Well, fuck with me, nigga. You're going to get dropped. I'll snap off your neck with a crackling pop.
Oh, I like the Rice Krispies thing, yeah.
Got that shit.
Yeah. Crackling pop,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. If you say anything, you'll beg me to die, because I'll make you suck my dick, then I'll nut in your eye. I'll stomp on your world as if my name was Godzilla. I'm coming for you, motherfucker. I'm your crazy eyes killer. You know? And I'm going to be like this in the video, like, you know what I mean?
I like it. I got one tiny little comment.
What?
I would lose the motherfucker at the end, because you already said fuck once. You don't need two fucks. You already got the one fuck. I would change the motherfucker to bitch. Because the bitch... Yes, because bitch is a word that you would use to somebody who you disrespect, right? Isn't that so?
You my dog. You my nigga.
I am
your
nigga.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right, Blake. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I like that shit. Okay. Yeah, right. I like you. Right. I like you, motherfucker. Don't hit me.
Okay.
Yeah. Check it out. You like eating pussy?
What a non-sequitur.
You know, it's... I'm a little... I like it. But I'm a little... too lazy to do it. You know? It's a whole to-do, you know. It hurts
lazy.
My neck. Yeah, I'm too lazy.
You're too lazy to do
it. It hurts my neck. You know,
man.
I get too lazy.
Oh, man, you got to eat the pussy, the cooch. Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah. You know the best pussy is to eat? Asian pussy.
Crazy Eyes Killer, you're getting married, but one is, you know, can't do that anymore.
No, I have to do that, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? No, I have to eat the pussy.
Really?
No, I can't live without that shit.
You have to eat the pussy.
You have to have all different flavors of pussy.
You got some Thai, you know, you can't do it. Wanda's going to find out.
Wanda ain't going to find out shit. It's between you and my nigga, right? It's between me and
you.
Yes,
I'm your nigga. Yeah.
So how are you going to find out?
Well,
she ain't going to find out, ain't she?
Not for me. Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's right. She ain't gonna find out.
She's not gonna find out.
Right.
All right, Crazy Eyes Killer. I'm gonna I gotta take off. I gotta pick up a script at my friend's house.
But all right, nice chat. All right. Yeah.
Chris, can I ask you, is there any possibility that in 2021 Larry David still thinks that you have a character like a Crazy Eyes Killer who's an actual rapper?
I've seen him a couple of times since then. He's always been really, really cool to me. Here's another thing that was cut out that you guys don't enjoy. He said, I said, you a writer, right? He said, I said, you on Steinfeld, right? Like, I would not be watching Seinfeld. I said, you on Steinfeld, right? He's like, Steinfeld, yeah, okay. But they cut that. I don't know if he didn't like that, but because it's like a jab at him, whatever, or just time-wise. I was like, you on Steinfeld? Because I wouldn't know Seinfeld.
Yeah, no, that's very good. Yeah, they should have kept that
crazy
in.
As, yeah. So I said, Stein, you want Steinfeld, right? Yeah, Stein. He's like,
isn't that what Kramer thinks the name is at one point?
Yeah.
Right, with Jerry's mom, right? He's like, Stein. She's like, ST. Yeah. She's like, S what? ST. Like,
yeah. I'm pretty sure.
And one of the first times that we, at the end, one of the first times, you know, when we say goodbye instead of slapping each other, I give, and we do one of those, and I do the snap at the end, and he's like, you know, people, you know, black people like this at the end? Yeah, so. So they that's an alternate take when they took a snap, and he was like, "Do I snap?" Like,
so can I ask you, Chris? So you made up those lyrics, right?
Yeah.
But then, to feed into
the episode.
But the scene that we're watching, like had you guys run that a few times already?
Yeah, we ran.
I'm just imagining because like Larry immediately responds to you. He's like, "I like it," but replace the motherfucker with a bitch, and it's like.
That was the second or third time. So we did it a couple of times.
So you guys both all come up with that over the course of we're just, you know, out of nowhere recording this a couple of times. That's really I mean, you know, you have the rap and then he has to respond with the motherfucker bitch thing, and then you have to non sequitur into, you know, eating pussy. I wanted to make sure
that it fed into the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
So there was some sort of threat, like like all those things, I'm nutting your eye, I'm gonna stomp on your world, like all that kind of stuff, and that he doesn't know that's gonna apply to him later.
Yeah. So oh, you're in Larry's nightmares for sure. Yeah.
Right. So I was trying to write something that could feed into more of my persona. So when I came, when I did come for him, that he would be a little more, because you know, in the scene he goes, he's got a nut in my eye. He's like, you know, just to feed into that paranoia of like, does he like me or is he going to kill me?
And by the way, the one contact also, I think, is so brilliant, even if you did it just because you didn't want to wear both contacts, because like it really makes you look so much more of a threat. Like you're talking about, oh, well, brown eyes is harder than blue. But like the one in one makes you look, you know, when you do the eye thing, Larry's like terrified of you.
You look crazy. And I'm, yeah. You know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's also just like Max Scherzer, the pitcher, hilarity of just thing. Like. Yeah, it's just like the hilarity of this, like the pastiest white guy Larry David ever being like, so these like rap lyrics, are we supposed to take these literally? Like,
yeah.
Or you know, is this just like some sort of art form? Like what's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this character, that this crazy eyes guy who's like, well, why would Wanda find out that I'm cheating on her? Oh, maybe it's because it's seemingly literally every person you meet, you tell them that you're cheating on your fiance.
I've known you for 4 minutes.
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you all my deepest secrets and then expect that no one will ever find out.
Yeah. Because I think, when we did the podcast the first time without Chris, we were saying, how did Wanda not know? Delicious, Matilda, what does she think that Crazy Eyes is doing with them? But, you know, again, maybe he is doing something with Delicious, but it's probably less likely based on what we know about Crazy Eyes and what we know about Delicious now. Yeah, that's maybe not really Matilda. One of the flavors. Yeah,
maybe Matilda.
Sure. You didn't crazy. Chris, as Crazy Eyes, you do not mention German as one of the flavors that you'd like. But maybe Larry interrupted you. You're getting to that next. So.
Yeah, Crazy Eyes doesn't say anything about lollipop. So I think he's not into Delicious.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I'm not. And I'm not bejazzled either.
Yeah, that's true. Right. All right, so the sacrificial lamb, unfortunately, going up against Crazy Eyes here is Wandering Bear. Very, very good, and we'll give Wandering Bear his due. This is just one of his scenes. This is Russell Means playing Wandering Bear.
Both very focused on a certain body part, both of these two characters.
Yeah.
Hi, Wandering Bear.
Hello. How is your vagina?
It's getting better.
Good.
Cheryl Hines is amazing in this series.
Did you tell him about my
playing someone who's just like always exasperated?
Wandering Bear just asked me how my vagina is.
Well, I'm sure he just wanted to see if this cure was working.
Okay, well, I'm asking me about my vagina. God.
Wait a second. Did you thank him?
No.
Did you thank
him? You could have at least expressed some gratitude. He did cure your vagina, did he not?
Hey. The price of being married to Larry David is that occasionally strangers will ask you how your vagina is.
Might not be such a good idea to ask my wife how her vagina is. I don't know how it is with American Indians, but the Jew generally doesn't ask other men's wives about their vagina. It's a custom thing. Well, if you take her to the white man doctor, he will not only ask about her vagina, he'll look.
He also has the great scene earlier where he argues about a pen and a pencil. I think Wandering Bear... amazing. Probably could have gotten pretty far in this tournament, but a tough matchup for Wandering Bear here in the first round.
He got a bad draw.
Yeah. So, Av, you already voted before we even watched. I'll let Chris vote next. Chris, who are you voting for here?
I'll take the killer.
Yeah.
The killer.
I feel bad for Wandering Bear because he's very, very funny. By the way, Larry was right. Whether he should have shared the information or not, once he did, he's now the one giving the successful advice. So, all right, let's let's get to our next matchup is Walter, the anti-Wagnerite Jew, played by Zane Lasky. That is the third one, season 2, episode 3. That's our 3 seed going up against our 14 seed, which is Rick Leftowitz, played by Rob Corddry. And he is in The Seder, season 5, episode 7. Unfortunately, the clips of him I found on YouTube, I didn't love. And so the clip I have here is on HBO, and you guys aren't going to be able to see it. You'll just be able to hear it, which is unfortunate because Rob Corddry really, like, the Leftwich character is made in Rob Corddry's, you know, similar to Chris Williams, like his eyes, and he bulges out his eyes and like acts like very dramatically with his eyes, and it's very, very funny to me always in everything he's done. But we'll start with Walter, the anti-Wagnerite Jew, who we hear in every episode of this podcast when we go to the postman at the end of the episode.
Postman, postman, tell the neighborhood what a chandelier Larry David is.
Romantic.
Yeah, listen to this.
It's pretty.
Excuse me. Are you Jewish? Are you Jewish?
You want to check my penis?
Okay.
Huh? Is that what you want to do?
My real question is, what were you whistling? What were you whistling?
Hello, Dolly?
No, it was Wagner.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
You, sir, $100.
I want to know what a Jew is whistling Wagner.
Do you want to know?
When he was one of the great anti-Semites of the world. You know what you are?
What am I?
You're a self-loathing Jew.
Am I?
Oh, well, yes.
I do hate myself, but it has nothing to do with being Jewish, okay?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with Jews.
Yeah.
As millions of Jews were taken to the concentration camps with Wagner being played in the background.
You know?
Yes, Hitler's favorite composer.
Really?
Yes.
You know what? They got a mental asylum a couple of blocks
down. No, not
a
mental asylum.
I suggest
where's
you go
your heritage?
And check yourself
where's
in.
Your Judaism?
Millions Judaism, of where are you? Where are you, Judaism?
You have this attitude. That you're better.
Yeah, they should put a muzzle on you. You're foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Please, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Now, this is something you need.
There's Walter, you know, and then, of course, later on in the episode with his daughter, also amazing. He really, really goes at Larry there. Where's your Judaism? Crazy Eyes, we saw his Judaism. We saw that big star David in that first scene. So, yeah, you had that established.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. All right,
yeah, so... I love the Walter character. It's just like being familiar with, like, obviously he's an exaggerated version, but just like that character of like the person who's just like so like attuned to like finding anti-Semitism everywhere in the world and like rooting it out, and like he thinks like, oh, if I just like go out and he's memorized all the Wagner songs just so that like in case he hears someone singing it, he can get an altercation with them. I just like it's like it just like taps so deeply into like the Jewish neuroses for like looking for anti-Semitism.
Yeah. All right. So now we're gonna have another Jewish character in the show. So we have Rob Corddry plays Rick Leftwich, who is a pedophile and is at Larry's Passover Seder. We just had Passover last week, so very timely return of Rick Leftwich here.
Hey, Larry. Hey, buddy. Let's talk to you for a second.
Sure. What's up?
This is really hard. I'm in the throes of a moral quandary right now.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what to do.
Okay, I'm not really the right... I'm not a good person to
think you are.
To confide in and talk to.
No. But that's my problem.
What you need to see is a doctor, a psychiatrist, a counselor of some kind.
No. I'm clear on what I'm torn about. My allegiance to you as a friend and not wanting to ruin the party, but... I saw something very shocking, and I feel like I have to tell you.
What's going on?
Well, I saw Mr. Dunkel whisper in his son's ear, and then the boy went right over and found the matzah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because he saw me hiding it. We made eye contact. He saw it.
Well, there you go. Sorry.
Okay. I'll take it from here.
And Tobolowsky is doing such a great job.
What am I going to
so
get my dollar?
Unlikable here.
Hey, up.
No, I'm just trying to find out why he went back.
There's
to the
no
bookcase
need for
a
third
time.
Degree. The boy found the Alpha Coleman. Just pay him the dollar.
How come you went back, Stevie?
Look, stop it. He found the matzah. Pay up. That's that.
He found the matzah?
Yeah.
Because you told him where it was hidden.
That
didn't
is
you?
A lie.
Didn't you?
That is a lie. You don't know anything. How would you know that?
How do I know?
What a bad denial.
My friend told me. That's how I know. He saw you whisper in your son's ear and then watched as he ran to the bookcase and got the matzah.
Oh, your friend, the convicted sex offender. You take his
word.
You are a cupid man.
Come on,
What's the matter, honey? What is it? She can't breathe. She can't breathe. Does anyone know mouth to mouth?
Oh my God. Oh my God. What?
I do.
And, by the way, wouldn't it be the Heimlich not mouth to mouth in that scenario? But anyway, yeah, it doesn't work for the joke. My two favorite moments of Rick Leftwich, Rob Corddry in this scene, unfortunately, are both video ones. He doesn't say anything. The first time is when Larry looks to him and he gives the resigned but, you know, supportive nod of yes, you can out me as the evidence against Len Dunkel and his son. And then the second is his very sheepish shrug and raising his arm before he says, or as he says, I do. So I really love Rick Leftwich. And it's interesting, these two characters, because Walter positions himself as a very strong and proud and supportive Jew, but all we see about him is that he's an asshole to Larry in front of the movie theater. He encourages his daughter to like vandalize Larry's house, whereas Rick, he's seen by the public as, oh, look at this terrible pedophile, but he gives Larry golf tips, he brings latkes to the Seder, he sees the skullduggery and is loyal to Larry, even though it'll out him in front of this whole group. Like, Rick Leftwich is a great guy, other than anything he may have allegedly done prior to coming on the episode that he's legally required to tell all his neighbors. But so very opposite characters. And I'm going to say, even though Rick is a much better guy in the show, again, other than being a convicted pedophile, I'm going to vote for Walter here. I love Walter's character. Chris, what about you?
Huh, that's tough. Because I like the subtlety, but I'll go with Walter too.
Yeah. All right. Was that your vote as well?
Yeah, I got to go with Walter here. Rob Corddry is really good. I love the way he leaves it off as like, hey, so I'm a sex offender, but I'm the only one who knows CPR. Your move.
Yeah, I do think that sort of similar to Dr. Bright, I think of the characters we've seen who have not advanced so far in this tournament, he doesn't get any favors for the scene, or he's better than that scene, I should say, because he's good in that scene, and Steve Coogan is amazing in that Dr. Bright scene, but there's even more there. But yeah, in this tournament, he's got one moment to show up here.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're also just both more subtle characters, and that's just like not necessarily going to translate when we're like thinking of like you know, when we're matching them up against these like larger than life figures in some cases.
Yeah. All right. So Walter advances, and our last matchup of the first round is Martine, the nanny, played by Sherry O'Terry. She is our sixth seed. She's from season 3, episode 4, The Nanny from Hell, and going up against our 11th seed, which is Solly, the survivor, played by the late Alan Rich, who we will see a couple times, but it's on the episode The Survivor, which, along with Crazy Eyes, I think those are two favorite episodes so far that we've seen so far of the show off. Other than you have a personal affection.
Yeah, the Wizard of Oz one. Yeah. I don't even know the name of the episode.
I like the doll too.
Yeah. Oh no, the doll's also is up there. But I think
the doll is great.
Yeah. Crazy Eyes and Survivor. All right. So let's start with Sherry O'Terry, which is Martine, and this is a couple minutes, but we really have to see the depths of crazy that exist within Martine. And also we have one of my favorite Larry lines ever, which is, "I took a risk."
All right.
You remember Martine? The Melon's nanny? From the pool party. Yeah, he's having a bit of a problem.
A problem, I'll say. Mr. Melon fired me. It's my suitcase. It doesn't have wheels.
Oh.
Doesn't have wheels. So she came over here.
It seems that one of the guests felt the cabana bathroom was beneath him and made his way into the main house. And
how did he find out?
Margarita, the cook, she's got a problem with me. She told that I was the person that let the guest in.
She squealed on you?
She ratted.
And he fired you?
And he fired me. Well, of course, I remember what you said about, you know, that you would be responsible if anything happened, so.
did you tell him that it was me?
No, I don't dime. I didn't dime. So I remember when I let you in, you said, if there's any problem, I think I'll take care of it. So here I am. I'm going to have to hold you to that because I don't have another job.
No.
So I am homeless. Except I don't stink.
Okay.
And your home is big.
You know what, Martine? I bet... Mr. David can do something about the situation.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Is there any way that you could maybe talk to Mr. Mellon and straighten things out? Because I think if you spoke with him,
I don't know. He would take me back. I'm a pretty good nanny.
Okay.
I'm a pretty good nanny.
All right.
I brought my suitcase, so if there's any problem, I can just stay here.
Oh, there's not going to be a problem. Larry will take care of it.
Drink in a juice box.
I hope so.
Well, that's a really good idea, and ordinarily I would, but you and I have had kind of a falling out.
What happened?
Well, I was in the restaurant earlier, and we got to talking about the party, and I happened to mention that I caught a glimpse of his son's penis, and...
How about that thing?
Huh?
It's huge!
And it was probably the wrong thing to
do. Yeah, I think it probably was.
But anyway, like I was saying, it's going to be difficult to...
talk to him.
Why would you do that, Larry?
I took a risk.
You know what? I think you're not going to have a problem finding another job. I mean, people in this town love nannies.
These people
they
need nannies.
Them.
Yeah.
But I'll need Mr. Mellon as a reference if I'm going to get another nanny job. He was my only reference. That was my first nanny job.
Oh.
What did you do before that?
Before that, I worked at Magic Mountain in the Looney Tunes Lodge for 15 years.
Oh.
It's where all the Looney Tunes characters would come out and they would sign autographs for kids.
You know, Jeff and I went there once with his daughter.
You did?
Hey, I went in there, and then that song, that theme is played all the whole...
It was fun. It was fun. Can I talk to you in the kitchen for just a second?
Sure. She's like, can I get away from this craziness?
Exactly.
Use that bathroom. Why did she come over here?
Well, obviously she thinks I'm responsible for getting her fired, and she has no place to go.
She brought her suitcase. Did you see that?
I saw it.
Does she think she's staying here?
I don't know if she thinks it. I don't know what she thinks.
I do not want the nanny from hell in my house.
Where did you hear that? The blank from hell? Where did you hear that expression?
Oh, my dad used to say it all the time. You know, everything was from hell.
No, see, that's Richard Lewis's.
It's not Richard Lewis's.
He made that up.
My dad has been saying, you know what?
Richard Lewis coined that.
Listen, the point is, I do not want her here, okay? You wouldn't believe the things that she's been telling me for the last 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. She's full of non sequiturs. She tells me she likes to pet horses. She enjoys a good corn dog.
That's a good corn dog.
She takes baths with her socks on. I mean, honestly, she's got a school somewhere.
I don't know. She's maybe a little eccentric, but she seems perfectly harmless to me.
Chris, do you enjoy a good corn dog?
Oh, man. I do, actually. I haven't had a corn dog in a while. But she's brilliant. She's really... But the what I love about that is that it's so underplayed crazy, yet on the edge of like bonkers. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
900.
She plays it so she toes that line between you think she could be normal, but she's you can tell that she's off.
Yeah,
and that's brilliant. It's just it's brilliant.
And let's not forget by the final scene in the episode, which we only see in flashback, slow motion, black and white form, where she attempts to murder Susie, basically. You talked about, you know, the performance of Sherry O'Terry. She was, and part of it is also everybody's favorite time of SNL, sort of like everyone's favorite music is like when they were growing up. And so for me, it was like that whole group in the 90s. But like Will Ferrell, who was, you know, probably like, you know, the biggest star on SNL at that time. But he had so many iconic characters that he did with Sherry O'Terry. Like they had the cheerleaders and Sherry O'Terry was just so amazing on SNL. And she doesn't, you know, she doesn't become the star that Will Ferrell does. And but yeah, but she was so good. And when she's amazing in this whole episode. But she's going up against another tough one because, again, from one of our favorite episodes ever, it is Solly. It is the survivor friend of Nat David, Larry's dad. And here he's going to get into a fight with Colby Donaldson about which one is a better survivor at the Shabbos dinner before they renew their vows the next day.
Inhabit this region. Oh. It was harrowing. Oh. You come across a taipan on the trail, you get bit. You're dead. Oh. 30 minutes flat.
Oh, wait, I'll tell you, that's a very interesting story. Let me tell you. I was in a concentration camp. You never even suffered 1 minute in your life compared to what I went through.
Look, I'm saying we spent 42 days trying to survive. We had very little rations, no snacks.
Snacks? Yeah, what are you talking snacks? We didn't eat sometimes for a week, for a month.
Don't.
We made nothing. I went from home.
I mean, I couldn't even work out when I was over there. They certainly didn't have a gym.
What?
I mean, I wore my sneakers out, and then the next thing you know, I've got a pair of flip-flops.
Flip-flops?
We slip on the ground, on the dirt. Okay, 118 degrees during the day, 98 at night with 98% humidity.
45 degrees below zero.
Did you guys have a bathroom?
A bathroom?
We didn't have
one. We had 12 people at a time would go and shit.
Well, I'm sure you had toilet paper.
We had newspaper.
We had mosquitoes. We certainly didn't have mosquitoes.
You see this glass eye? Huh? Huh?
Have you even seen the show?
Did you ever see our show? It was called the Holocaust.
Look, all I know is I was damn close to that $1 million, all right? And the whole time, everyone's backstabbing me and undermining me, trying to get me kicked off the show.
You don't know nothing yourself about survival. I'm a survivor.
Yeah, just a dynamite performance. And also, by the way, and Chris, you can talk to us about this for a second. Colby Donaldson, not an actor. He's a guy who's famous from a reality show. And he comes on and plays a semi-fictionalized version of himself, but he has to come on and play like a tremendous asshole version of himself. He's getting into an argument with an old Holocaust survivor. And I mean, it's an incredible job by him as an actor, you know, as a guy with not a lot of acting experience, as far as I know, at that point in his life, certainly.
Yeah, he did a really great job. I mean, in order to just push it just enough.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who have that conviction when they're wrong. But you can tell he totally believes it. And that's the only way that it works is if he's so offended, you know, he's so offended by, you know, the Holocaust survivor is so offended. He's like, it's just like, no. What are you talking about? There are lasers in the sky that are killing people and they're eating babies. What is the problem with that? And you're like, what are you talking? So,
by the way, if that person got in a debate with Solly, they would probably tell Solly that he's a crisis actor, that his whole life is made up, because of course the Holocaust didn't exist. Solly, of course, later in the episode, I love when he says, "What are you making fun for me?" when they're in the limo, when Larry's trying to block out the sun from Solly's glass eye. So all right, Solly against Martine. This is a really tough matchup. Our last match from the first round.
Yeah, Chris, this is a tough one.
I gotta go with Sherry or Terry.
All right, so Martine gets one vote. You can be the deciding vote, because I'm going to vote for Solly here. And I think the reason is because, like, when we just watched that scene, I mean, they're both very good in the scene, and Martine is just a very, very, very funny scene there. But, like, I have such more of an iconic memory of Solly, and maybe partly because, you know, he's a little closer home for me. I think of him, and I think of that scene all the time. The Survivor scene is one of my favorite scenes in the history of Curb. Mm. And like, that episode is so iconic, I think, largely because of that scene. And Martine and the Nanny from Hell episode, it's like, you know, I remember more, frankly, in that episode about, you know, Larry saying, "I took a risk," and talking about Hugh's huge penis and fuck Hugh. That's like more famous from this episode. You know, who came up with the hell? This is the lunch from hell. There's a lot more. Like, I don't think of Martine in the same way. So I'm going to vote for Solly here. You're the deciding vote.
Yeah, I have a lot to say on this subject. So I don't think this came up when we first watched the episode with Martine. But, you know, a lot of the times through this process, we've been like spotting like lines and jokes and like situations that were like, oh, that's a thing that came up on Seinfeld, and that was a Larry David thing. Obviously not like a Jerry Seinfeld thing or somebody else's. And I don't think we brought this up, but the wearing socks in the bathtub, akin to the George Costanza saying in the phone message that his father wears sneakers in the pool. Obviously that's the same thing, right? That's like, that's just like a Larry David joke, that for whatever reason, the idea of like wearing your socks or your sneakers in the water is like a silly thing. It's funny. We went to like a hotel with an indoor pool for winter break, where like you can reserve the room for COVID purposes. And my 4-year-old daughter has become so accustomed to wearing a mask, like she doesn't even like notice that she's wearing it. That
gets in the pool. Yeah.
She went in the pool on 3 separate occasions while wearing a mask. Oh, wow. We're like, "What are you? You're wearing a mask. What are you doing? How do you not realize that you're wearing a mask?"
Mm. Mask and socks. Now.
She's like underwater in a mask. Like, what are you doing?
She's like, "Dad, you made me wear
two
socks."
Two tidbits. A, I read for Seinfeld to be the black guy who Elaine dates, who is not looks white.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
And they said,
"Are we supposed to be talking about this episode?"
Yeah.
And they said I just look too black. So didn't I get that one?
Sorry about that, Chris.
But then also Festivus and Dan O'Keefe, who came up with, who wrote for Seinfeld, who came up with Festivus, went to my high school. I grew up with him.
Oh, small world.
And they did have Festivus at their house.
Are you serious?
Oh, so he is. That's so an that actual was like a thing. That was a
That's
real
a real thing.
Life.
Well, I know post Seinfeld it's a real thing because, like, me and my idiot friends do it because, you know, we want excuses to air our grievances. But, like, they were doing it, like, the show, Seinfeld didn't make it up. Seinfeld came from that. That's amazing. I don't think I knew that.
He was a writer on Seinfeld. He was a writer on Seinfeld, and he used that, and that's his family actually did that.
And what, his father was upset with the commercialism of Christmas or whatever?
Something like that. And that's what they celebrated festivals. And he was a writer in Silicon Valley.
Oh, look at that. Cool. Oh, it all comes together. As he was raining blows upon another father fighting for a toy. All right. So Av, by the way, I love another thing about, you know, just these subtleties of the Martine character. She uses so many different, you know, Larry says she squealed and she responds, she ratted me out. And then later she says, I don't dime. So I think like Martine's backstory, she might've had a rough upbringing in life. You know, she may have spent some time as a guest of the government, the way she talks about ratting and diming. And, you know, she's loyal, but all right. So who are you voting for here? Martine or Sally?
Yeah. So, you know, again, like the Martine is really iconic. You know, this is just obviously, you know, personal bias comes into play here. You know, I'll echo Chester here. Grandchild of multiple Holocaust survivors, you know, going through life where like knowing people that, you know, they can attend a dinner party and always have the ultimate trump card of, oh, you think you experienced something bad? I was in the Holocaust.
Right. But wait, this is that's also from Seinfeld, of course, when George is trying to get the apartment against the survivor of the, oh my goodness, my mind just went blank and I'm going to get dunked on by our listeners. What's the maritime disaster?
Oh, the Andrea Doria?
Yeah, the Andrea Doria. Thank you. So you actually heard somebody like get in an argument and reference the Holocaust?
No, like, not exactly this, but like I have grandparents who were in the Holocaust. Yeah. So it's like anything that like I have negative to say about anything in life is like, yeah, well, I was in the Holocaust.
But that's your own guilt. They don't need to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just implied in every conversation you have for your entire life. Yeah. Oh, really? Rich white kid from New York in 1990? With like a, you know, a car and VCRs and all these things. Yeah, yeah. I was in a concentration camp. So, you know, right. It hits home. So, you know, it's the have you seen our show? It was called The Holocaust. It's like, that's the line from Curb that I referenced the most in my life.
Yeah. For me, it's snacks. Why are you talking snacks?
Yeah. Fun fact, it's like it's interesting that Colby mentions the 42 days of Survivor. Out of the 40 seasons of American Survivor, 39 of them were 39 days, and that was the only one that was 42. So it's just like it's like any like random casual will be like 42 days, like 30 Survivor. Everyone knows Survivor is 39 days, but like that's the one season that they did three extra days.
Hmm. All right, so now we have Jew versus Jew violence in the second round here, because we have Sally against Walter, both very concerned about the Holocaust, lots of opinions about concentration camps. This is a matchup that maybe was predestined, I don't know, but it was totally random that this happened.
Only one will survive.
Yeah, one of them is going to the chambers, unfortunately. All right, yeah, maybe I should take that out. I don't know. Leave it in. We must go forward, not back, only forward. All right, who are you voting for here, Walter or Sally?
This is really close. I think I lead Walter here, just because he's just like funnier. Like he just like jumps off the page more.
I'm gonna vote Sally, and I'm gonna let Chris be our deciding vote here.
Oh gosh,
it's the selection time.
Who goes to the left? Who goes to the right?
Ooh. Well, I went Walter last round. Oof. I like Sally. I'll go Sally though.
Ooh, Sally with an upset. Yeah, because
upsets.
All right, so Sally the survivor survives another round. Survive in advance. That's all you got to do.
Survives once again.
Yes, that's all you need to do in the tournament is. all right. Now, then who will he face? Will he face Crazy Eyes Killer or John McEnroe? Not a lot of drama there. Well, Av, I know that you love John McEnroe. You're a big tennis fan, but I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Crazy Eyes Killer here. So, all right.
Yeah, I got to agree. John McEnroe should be very proud of himself to advance to the second round. You know, he does very well as a straight man, but like a straight man is not necessarily going to be the alpha dog.
All right, but now we have more Jew on Jew violence because Crazy Eyes, apparently, the convert to Judaism, Sally, Jew as well. Chris Williams is like, why did I come on a podcast where they made me play a character who eliminates a Holocaust survivor in a draft of surviving? But listen, I think that's where we are. Great job by Sally. You survived to see many wonderful things, but I think
he survived all the way to the Final Four.
Yes. You made it to the Final Four. You got to cut down the nets in a very Jew heavy region. It was Martine and three Jews. I think Crazy Eyes ends Sally's run here. So let's go to the other semifinal matchup, which for those who have forgotten because it was like an hour ago, is Monina the Hooker against Katie Huffman. So who are you going to vote for here?
It's close. I mean, it's gotta be Monina though. I mean, she's just like so much more iconic. I mean, I think, you know, we obviously have a very special place in our heart for Katie Huffman. And she is more of a recurring character. So like that gives her some points, but like the fact that like Monina shows up the way she does and just like makes her presence known on this show for years to come, you gotta go to Monina.
Yeah. I think I actually voted against Monina. So this is sort of like Chris last time. I voted for Porno Gill, I think, over Monina, didn't I? Or I don't remember. And Andy Portico. I assume
you got a flip flopper over here.
Yeah, but I'm gonna vote for Monina as well, unless Chris can sway us. I think it's.
I got Monina. Monina.
Yeah. All right, so we have friends in real life battling here to see who's gonna be the winner today. So that's a tough one.
And come with guy, the cool de la girl, cool de la girl.
Yeah. He's the one who introduced the line, of course, is Crazy Eyes, and then picking it up in the culture.
What I'll say here is that when we were watching the Crazy Eye clips, Crazy Eyes clip earlier, I noticed on the Zoom that Chris was lip syncing along in the background. So maybe if we can get the full rap played live on the podcast, I think that would probably go a long way in swaying our vote.
Well, that's a lot of pressure, but Chris, do you remember the whole rap that you did there?
You know what? It's interesting. I found my notes from when I first was writing it. Right.
Is that the one you're holding in the scene?
It was when I was working at, because I had all these other like small references and so you think you're going something and mess with my shit. Yep. And smacking your lip. Don't fuck with me, nigga. You won't get dropped. I snap off your neck with a crackle and pop. If you say anything, you'll beg me to die. Cause I'll make you suck my dick, then I'll nut in your eye. I stomp on your world like my name is Godzilla. I'm coming for you, motherfucker. I'm your Crazy Eyes killer. I'm gonna be like this in the podcast.
All right, now we will present an opportunity for Monina to deliver her lines live on this podcast. Monina,
I just texted her too. Oh,
that's pretty funny. By the way, you can easily find the Crazy Eyes killer rap lyrics on the internet. Unsurprisingly, there's like these articles like the top Crazy Eyes moments from Curb. It's kind of crazy. Like you were in three scenes, and yet, all right, here's a top 10 of like from three scenes. Do you mind if we play the crib scene as well, Chris?
Oh no, let's do it.
All right, so let's play the scene where you give Larry the tour of the house.
So right here is when Delicious opens the door. Mm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and they cut that out. All right, that's too bad. We would have got to meet Delicious. Answered so many questions that we had.
What the fuck you doing? Where's my nigga? Here's my motherfucking nigga right there. Get your ass in here.
I play a version of that game with my baby. But goddamn. It's a little different.
You came to see my motherfucking shit, didn't you?
Crazy Eyes, I'm supposed to meet Cheryl and Wanda. Do you have any idea where they went?
I think he said something about tea bags, is that right?
Tea bags.
Yeah.
Thanks, Crazy.
Hey, what's up, man? Where you going? You just got here, nigga. Don't you want to tour the house? You want to tour the house, don't you? You want to tour? Come on, motherfucker, come on! Yeah, that's right, come on! Yeah, Larry fucking David. Okay, yeah. See, this is a dining room, you know?
This is where you eat.
Yeah, you do a dining in here and shit. You got some, a table, a dining room table.
Yeah.
You got some chairs and shit, you know? Got some lamps and shit. Got the floor, you know what I mean? It's made out of, floor shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's floor shit.
Yeah, some steps right here. Steps here, motherfuckers. You know, I want a three.
And then I said, the white lady. There's a white lady right here.
Got a door here. Got a door there. Here we got rooms.
Sorry, I couldn't hear Chris. Go ahead. Say it again.
So I said that the statue, I go, and you get a statue of a white lady, because you always got to have a statue of a white lady around.
There's also a huge Jesus on the cross on the wall.
I walk up the stairs.
Crazy Eyes is very religious.
Two, but three is better. So everything was excess. And then as you say, we go into the hall. I turn around. I said, see, I got a pool. I said, I had a pool, motherfucking pool. I said, I was on, I put water in that motherfucker because make it cool. He's like, because, you know, you have a, he's like, why would you put water? I was like, you got that fucking hole in the ground. You know what I'm saying? But I put cool, more than that motherfucker, makes it cool. And then you go to the right, and that's when I go into my music room and shit.
Yeah, so it's too bad they cut all this. The Curb, and I think we've talked about this before, Av, like, it doesn't have like online access to like as many like sort of extras and cut scenes as a lot of other shows do. I guess because a lot of shows maybe did it as like DVD extras and they get clipped to YouTube eventually. But like Curb should have more, because the scenes are, it's not just, you know, rehearsing the same scene over and over again and then, you know, somebody laughs or whatever. Like it's totally, it could be totally original stuff because it's not necessarily scripted at all. And so I would love to see more of that.
You could honestly totally do alternate, you can do a same episode with alternate takes.
Yeah,
and like there could, especially since like because it's Curb and because it's like already allowed to be so explicit, like there could be stuff that just like that was just like too racy to even put in this show that could just be hilarious. There could be stuff that was great but just like didn't necessarily fit in with what they needed to accomplish in the scene, so it just got, you know, didn't make the cut. You know, there could be like the funniest lines could have been cut in some instances.
Well, I wonder, Chris,
so much old.
Like when this show was on, you know, it was on HBO, it wasn't on network TV, but it was still like people thought outside the box a lot more about TV. And so I think an episode had to be 30 minutes. Whereas now, if they had 46 minutes of good material, they'd be like, fuck it, we can make it a 46. It's not like the season finale. Who cares? Like people aren't watching it from 9 to 9:30 on Sunday night. They're watching it whenever, you know, like online or whatever. I mean, do you think if they recut this episode, is it longer, do you think? Or?
Oh yeah. We shot this April of 2002.
That's a long time.
And it aired 2002. And it aired November 2003. No, so it was April 2003.
But it's still 18 years ago. And so in TV, it's like, you know, so many generations ago.
You see that?
Got Crazy Eyes giving the tour.
All right. So, yeah, we got to. So, everyone follow Chris Williams on Instagram.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, so you can see the some of the deleted scenes.
It's chris.williams_ on Instagram, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Probably a lot of people named Chris Williams out there, I'm gonna guess.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
There's fewer Avraham Sinensky's, I would guess.
Slightly fewer.
Yeah. The scene we're watching is the tour.
Stuff, you know what I mean? We got a door here and a door there. You know, we got rooms all over this motherfucker. You know what I mean? Yo, check it. You like this shit? The Oriental room and shit. So all the shit go down right there.
That's a lot smaller than I would have thought.
I will get a bigger bed. You know, I have three or four motherfuckers in there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Gotta have three or four motherfuckers in there.
You a motherfucking pimp, ain't you?
I don't think that.
You are a pimp.
Yeah.
You know,
I got a garbage can?
No, you just throw that shit anyway. I got some. You know what I thought? Toss it.
Okay.
Toss the motherfucker. See? There you go. Watch this shit. Yo, delicious! Delicious! Tell Matilda to come in here and clean this shit up! And bring me an alizé! You want some, bro?
No, thank you. I actually kind of got it.
What's up?
You like some shit?
What?
I have the exact same jacket. But I mean, I lost it, but I... You don't understand, I'm supposed to wear this in this movie tomorrow.
It's cool, man. Shit, you got all excited and shit. You want to try it on? Go try it on. Shit, I don't give a shit.
No, but this is unbelievable because I lost the jacket.
Got a fucking jacket on, man.
Holy shit, I can't even believe this.
Think about putting a plasma screen on the fucking ceiling and have like Scarface like 24/7. Let me see. Oh, you official.
This is like, amazing.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
I like that shit. You like it?
All right.
It's yours.
Get out of here.
Fuck it.
Oh, fuck you. I don't need it. I got plenty of shit.
Crazy
right
guys. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Sorry,
you don't have to say shit. We roll like that. You know what I mean?
Are you my Caucasian?
I'm your man.
Are you my Caucasian?
I'm your fucking Caucasian.
All right.
All right.
You know what?
What?
Honest to God, I love the crib.
Right?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna get my ass. My wife's gonna kick my ass. I gotta get out of here.
Oh shit! You gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Oh man, I know how that shit is.
Okay.
I know how that shit is. Don't let her fuck with you. You all right?
Yeah, I'm gonna sneeze. But thank you.
All right. Yo, Delicious, get a tissue. My man's gonna sneeze.
Delicious.
By the way, I noticed that Larry David's jacket is on a hook in Crazy Eyes' bedroom for some reason. Let me ask you a question. Chris, where's Crazy Eyes from, like in the rap game? Is he West Coast because they live in LA now? You know, what's his background?
He's definitely East Coast. He's an East Coast rapper.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So he moves out west I don't know. Maybe it's just my limited exposure. But to me, like Alizé, I think of as more of like a West Coast drink. Like I feel like that was like Tupac and Snoop.
Well, that was a Alizé. Rapper's drink at the time. That was like, you know, all those there's like Hypnotique Nizwan and like some random. I needed to come up with some random alcohol that was very specific to the rap community. And I think on MTV Cribs, everyone had Alizé. Everyone kept talking about Alizé in 2000.
By the way, did we miss this clip? That wasn't that doesn't have the part where he talks about the room of Scarface 24/7, right?
Yeah, I just
did I? Oh, yeah. All right. I was laughing through it, I guess. Crazy Eyes, and you know, obviously, it's, you know, you're here, and so it looks like the thumb's on the scale, but it's really not. Like, you know, I ranked sort of the characters when even before we knew that, you know, that you might ever come on this podcast before Tim brought you on the other episode, and I had Crazy Eyes at least through the first six seasons. So we'll see what happens in a future season. But
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I had Crazy Eyes as number one on my power rankings. Just an iconic performance, and also on this podcast here today. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining us. Maybe Av and I will start a Silicon Valley podcast, and then you can come on to discuss that one as well.
That alone may make it worthwhile.
Yeah, well, we have our first guest lined up, so.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It was a lot of fun.
All right, this was so much fun. Thank you so much.
And Craig, I still can't believe that this is 18 years later.
Yeah.
People are still talking about, as I said, I got cameo.
At least two people are.
Well, once a week, I at least get a cameo. People asking me to swear.
Yeah.
Swear at them and call them, you know, they're Caucasian. So
yeah,
you guys are both kunde lai with me.
Ah, oh, nice. That's great.
All right. And it didn't even not in our eyes. So it's a big win.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Next week, we dive into season 7. Is that right?
That's right. So, we made it.
Next week, season 7 is Funk Hour's Crazy Sister, which means we get more of the Funk Man. We get his sister as well.
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, Catherine O'Hara with she might be on like when we do the season 7 through 9. I mean, she certainly makes a memorable appearance on Curb. We'll say that.
Will she come on the podcast? We'll find out.
I guess we will. Bam Bam. Bam Bam Funkhauser will be with us next week. So Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
We may not have Chris with us on the podcast next week, but even without Chris, we'll have a new episode and a whole new season of Curb. And as far as I'm concerned, that is
pretty, 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 pretty good.